Obama administration not intimidated by Syria's Bashar al-Assad, who warned there will be repercussions for any U.S. military strike on his forces.
It's difficult for anyone to tell you what is going to happen. It's an area where everything is on the brink of explosion. You have to expect everything.
Hours after the Syrian president appeared on CBS, a top Homeland Security official said the potential for retaliation inside the U.S. is something we are focusing on. Secretary of State John Kerry says Assad could resolve the crisis by turning his arsenal over to the international community by the end of the week. Russia made a similar proposal, and Syria's foreign minister in Russia right now says Damascus supports the proposal. President Obama is an ally of Islamists. As ABC's Ann Compton points out,
one day before President Obama is to address the nation to justify his plans for a limited military strike on Assad's regime, intensifying his pressure on Congress. For interviews with TV news network anchors, even former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will speak on Syria today. And Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A wildfire burning in the San Francisco Bay Area Wilderness Park.
I heard noise coming from the low end of the house. And so I walked out and was standing. You see the sign of the tree up the hill. I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on Dynavite. The stuff is amazing. First day that I gave Dixie and Daisy Dynavite for cats, I did add a little bit of the liquor chalk, and they absolutely loved it. All the vitamins, minerals, you know, they also enjoyed the num-nums, the nub-nums, or whatever they're called, the treats that also came along with
V-I-N-O-V-I-C-E.com.
They're just running through the house.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and we're here, and we're live. And today is the 9th of September, 2013, and studio with me is Six and Ben. I guess Jeff is on his way. And we got a lot to talk about. The Browns lost, the Steelers lost. I think everybody in the is the American division lost? Everybody on this side of the country lost?
No, everybody I don't know what division it is. The four teams. Pittsburgh.
They all lost. They all lost.
I think Pittsburgh lost more than a game, though.
No, they didn't lose one game.
Oh, they lost, I think, two of their starters and their kicker. And I think they lost the water boy, too.
Tomlinson was mad yesterday. He really had issues. He was very upset.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the press conference with him, and he was not a happy man.
Yeah.
And I was in Pittsburgh, and I was in Pittsburgh. I went to the went to breakfast or brunch and the aviary. There's a National Aviary Museum there.
With all the birds.
With all the birds.
Yeah.
And
Those birds are loud down there.
They're a little dirty, too.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have eaten there.
I didn't eat there.
You didn't have any bird drop soup, did you?
No. I didn't eat there. No, I didn't eat there. That would be bad. But the game was over when we were leaving.
Uh-huh.
And everybody wanted to know, you know, how to go. I'm like, they lost. You can tell. It was all quiet.
Yeah.
It was like they were like in a morgue or something.
Mm-hmm. It looked like Cleveland on a Sunday afternoon.
Now, you've been a Pittsburgh fan for a while. You need to tell them that they need to, like, color code the bridges, you know, make it easy in, easy out, instead of making it so difficult trying to get to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's one thing I will give Cleveland. It's easier to get out of Cleveland as the – you know, the Browns proved in LeBron James.
Absolutely. It's easy to go.
It's much easier to get out.
And so what else happened? We got to talk about, we'll get to the news in a minute. Because I watched the Sunday news yesterday, you know, Sunday talking heads, Sunday, you know, talking points, regurgitating.
Meet the unimpressed.
Tomorrow, Wednesday was going to be kind of tough. Dr.
Danielle.
She'll be here on Wednesday. She's a naturopath, but she's going to have to say what she has to say really, really quick, because it's going to be it's the day of the vote, and it's the day after President Obama's address to the nation in reference to why we need to go over to Syria.
Oh, you mean President Benedict Arnold?
What Benedict? Not yet. Slow down, Ben.
How can you win a Nobel Peace Prize and then blow up a country?
No. Wait a minute. The Peace Prize has nothing to do with the war.
Well, that's just it. See, when you blow them up, they're in pieces.
Now, the Peace Prize has nothing. I mean, there's a time for the peace and a time for war. And the president, I mean, this is bigger than. We don't want to go there. But the Peace Prize had to do with him actually
getting elected.
Yeah. there's no other way to put that.
Was he even?
No.
He didn't even swear in yet when he was getting the peace prize. So,
But you have to understand the enormity of what happened. The problem is he did not capitalize on his accomplishment based upon what he achieved. He didn't, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that. The president did not capitalize upon the achievement when he became the first African American president. And he had the ability.
Are you talking about the African American community or for?
Period. He could have done so much. But you have to do it from a humble state of mind. That wasn't me. That was Fix. Because everybody thinks it's me when that happens.
Oh.
I didn't do it.
No, that was me.
I didn't hear anything.
That's right. Give it a minute. Oh, yeah, Fix. What did you eat for lunch? Oh. But everyone, you know, people think that this was a racial thing, and he overcame so much. And Republicans, you know, leadership comes from a servant's point of view. It comes from a servant's stand. The greatest leaders are the greatest servants. And the greatest servants are the greatest leaders. And I don't think we understand that.
Right, if you're talking about people by leading by example, I would agree with you 100%.
Leaders lead.
That's the best officers that I had in the Navy.
Leaders lead.
Were the guys that
will get in the
getting
the hole with you.
Getting down to dirt with you.
And you can't, even when you win, You know, sportsmanship, even when you win, you go and shake the opponent's hand and say, let's work together. The first thing out of your mouth is elections have consequences. It's not what you say.
John, I won.
You know, that's not how you handle it.
No.
Even if you mean it in the back of your head, and yeah, everybody's got their point of arrogance. But we need to learn that, and that's something that we're not teaching our children, and that's why they're not being effective as they should be. That's why, and even in bosses, there are no such thing as bosses. There should be leadership, and President Obama did not take advantage of it. And because he did not take advantage of it, and I don't know what was around him, I don't know what was going on, and I'm not going to lay blame all at his feet, but everyone that was around him, what he did is that he crushed a monumental moment to where we have what we have today.
I feel like he has actually created more division and strife than we had before he got there.
He did. Mm-hmm. And he allowed the media to do so, and he allowed the people around him to do so, and he played into it. And he did not, I've been saying this all weekend, but he stands up on he lays his hands on Bibles of Abraham Lincoln and of Martin Luther King, and he stands behind podiums 50 years later and says, I've made it. But what he didn't do is he didn't learn from it.
Well, that's the point. He said, I've made it, instead of we've made it.
It's not even about a we. It's just about let's continue to do it.
Hmm.
Because we haven't made it. All truth being told, America has not made it, racism has not made it, finances have not made it, but let's continue to do it. Let's continue to instill the dream, and let's work at this together. That's why we have this mess in Syria, because every situation, every decision is a political chess piece instead of the right thing or the wrong thing to do.
Oh, well, while we're here, I got to tell you about this phone call I got. I was flabbergasted. I got a house for rent.
Can I get it? You got a house for rent?
I got a house for rent. But anyways, one of the neighbors calls me up, and he says, hey, there was this mixed couple that was walking around your house that looked like they were calling you. I want to make sure that you understand that you need to rent to the right kind of people. I was floored. I couldn't believe that anybody, whether you think it or not, would even think about saying something like that out loud this day and age. I was speechless.
Why were you speechless? Welcome to the real world. Duh. We've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
But their money's green. I don't care.
You don't care, but the neighbor does, because he ain't getting no green.
You know, you gotta hire a couple of people to walk out there with towels around their head and see what happens. You know, an AK-47. See what he says then.
Well, I was talking to another friend of mine. He says, oh, yeah. He says, I sold my house to a bunch of Mexicans, and my neighbors were all bent out of shape.
But but you have to understand that we are, ignorance is everywhere.
Was it an older gentleman?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I really don't think amongst a younger, and I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, evidently, because, you know, the KKK is still out there.
Then they got young people in there.
Yeah, as well as the American Nazi Party. They're still there. They're on the websites. So, I think the younger generation
But the changing of perception
has changed.
No, it has not. Some have. Some haven't, depending upon their perspective, where they are, and what's around them. Because we really need to understand, we are still playing racism as an industry.
Oh, yeah.
And because we're playing racism as an industry, we are feeding into the ignorances and the prejudices of people.
And that's the thing that we've been talking about here for the last couple of years that I've been around, is it's they're trying to keep poor blacks and poor whites divided, because if they get them together, if they allow them to get together
and get smart.
Yeah.
No. But you know, there's one thing. I mean, you heard the news about Kasich, you know, saying that every able-bodied male will only have a certain amount of time on food stamps. And, you know, I think that's a great idea, but I think it should be every able-bodied person should be able to, you know, why do you want to pay people to sit around and do nothing and not give them any incentive?
Because we are in a climate of enabling people to become dependent.
And if we do what Kasich says, it's a turning in the other direction, isn't it?
But Kasich is from the mindset that we need to teach people how to go get a fishing pole.
Yep.
And I agree with that.
The problem is we don't want to give them the tools. Because, I mean, fishing is a craft.
Mm-hmm.
whether you, I mean, it's more to throwing a line in the lake, mm-hmm. and coming up with a fish.
Do you know the strongest motivator, I believe, in history is hunger?
Yes, it is.
And if you look at what people would do to get a loaf of bread, literally walk into a gas chamber just because they were hungry for a loaf of bread.
But hunger is your strongest appetite. It's a very strong motivator.
Yeah.
But ignorance in what you need to do, you know, I keep on telling you guys, I've read a book by a man by the name of Mensa Atable. And he said, never negotiate on a hungry or an empty stomach. Sometimes you think that you're going to die if you don't eat right now, but all you have to do is wait.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to die.
The story of Esau in the Bible.
That's where he comes from.
Yeah.
Esau and Jacob. That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to die for a bowl of soup. But you have to know what you have. And what's happening is we are not teaching people that's how to live on their own.
And there are people, I didn't believe this before, but I'm learning, there are people that will literally sit in the middle of the floor and starve to death and not get up and go.
That's because they've got that dog and chain mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we keep on conditioning you, if you go after food, we'll kill you, we'll buzz you. So after a while, you just sit there and die.
Well, not only that, I mean, I've said this 1,000 times, there are 2 things that every child wants to do, and that's learn and work. And we do everything in our power to dissuade them from doing either one.
And President Obama is an enabler of that, and so is the liberal. And I'm not going to say the Democrat Party, because not all Democrats think this way. But in the conversations that I had with some people over the weekend, I am overwhelmed with the ignorance that they have when it comes to despising people who accumulate wealth.
Oh, yeah. Well, it infuriates me when I hear these people, when you say children should have jobs, the people that right away we go from sweeping the floor in a grocery store to running a forklift in a factory at 12 years old. And it infuriates me, that mindset. And also the thing about, you know, there was somebody posted something on my Facebook page. It was a Charlie Daniels quote, and said something about Charlie Daniels being rich. People don't realize, at 30 years old, Charlie Daniels moved his entire family to Nashville. They slept in a car.
It doesn't matter.
And he worked his behind off for what he has. So why should you be covetous or jealous of what he has attained? Because 90% of us wouldn't be willing to put our family in that.
Because we're indoctrinated to believe so. And that goes back to what I said about the President of the United States. He did not pull up the motivational speaker and say, this is how you make it.
You know, this is what I don't understand. How many people are working today because of rich people?
All of them.
And how many people are working today because of people that have handouts?
None of them.
No, that's not
government.
That.
Government
Some
workers.
Of them, government workers only. So, I mean, why would anybody hate a rich person?
Because we have been bred to believe that rich is bad.
Who's been breeding that?
Society. We've got to take a break. We're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSON AM 600. It is open mic, and we will get to all the meat and guts and all that, but we do want you to call in. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
Faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
When liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyAndFriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I told you you could always count on me, darling. From that day on, I made a vow. I'll be there when you want me.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number's 347-945-5229. It's open mic today, and I'm in city with Ben and Sticks. We were just having a conversation, and I'm just ranting and raving because I just think, you know, they're talking about the responsibility of President Obama getting the peace award and all that kind of crap. I'm going, we slept it. They slept it. We're in a mess. And until we change it as Americans, and I don't think we understand that, until we change it as Americans, mm-hmm. we will always be in the hole that we're in, doing what we're doing, getting nowhere. Because right now we're messed up.
No doubt about it.
We are really messed up. And I'm going to get to the Siri, but we are in, when you talk about males working, females staying home, we are conditioning a complete body of non-thinkers. We do not want anyone to think, no matter what you go to school for, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter what's going on, we do not want people thinking. and they tell me, well, you're supposed to entertain people, and that you'll never make it, you know, go far. And I'm like, but people have to start thinking.
Well, they have to quit taking everything at face value. That's the thing. They have to dig deeper.
Dig deeper. Just think. If I tell you it's blue.
Common sense.
If I tell you it's blue, ask what color blue it is. All blues aren't blue. Some blues are baby blue and royal blue and deep blue or shades of blue. Do something. Think.
Mm-hmm.
Ask why.
Maybe
don't follow blindly.
Maybe people don't want to know the answer, though.
You got to know. I was watching 60 Minutes last night. They were talking about the robotics industry. And I was like, wow. So robots are producing at 1.5 people. People are not catching up with the technology to do it. And we're not adding enough jobs. Hello? In America. I ain't talking about cross country. So the jobs are coming back from overseas. Yeah, they're coming back. But guess what? They're not using people.
But part of that reason is they've made the cost of employing a person so high. And part of that's regulation, and part of that's the debasement of the currency.
Have you tried to explain that to somebody? Have you tried to explain to somebody?
Oh, they refuse to believe you. My brother's company, my brother works for the largest privately held corporation in the world. And they did a study. They manufacture right here in Ohio. It's pennies to throw in the shipping. It's pennies difference to produce goods in the United States, manufacture goods in the United States as it is China. You know what the cost is? Taxes and regulation.
Do you know how hard it is to convince people that the reason why you're not getting the money you deserve is because we're passing it along to the government and to the regulators?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
do you know how hard that is?
The debasement of your currency.
You know, think about it. I mean, everybody's complaining that business is going overseas for their manufacturing. And when you factor in the shipping costs to get something from China to Ohio,
right?
I mean, you would think it would be much easier to produce it here. The reason, sole reason, like you said, is taxes and regulations. That's why we don't produce in this country anymore.
Ask any CEO of any major company, Caterpillar, he said it. I've seen him on Fox Business many times, the president of Caterpillar, or CEO of Caterpillar. Taxes and regulation.
We're going to take your onions away from you.
Yeah, I know. taxes and regulation. That's what's driving manufacturers out of the country. I mean, just down the river here, they spent $1 billion on that power plant, and they had to close it because it's making too much plant food, carbon dioxide.
But
what's wrong with us?
Do you understand trying to explain that to somebody? I mean, have you tried to do that?
Yeah, I've tried many times. You know, the only group that seems to be catching on are the union workers.
No.
From the steel industry.
Oh.
They finally figured it out.
I think the pipe figures figured out the AFL-CIO is ready to stab them in the back.
Yeah.
Because they want to build pipelines, and Trumka's up there standing with the greeny weenies.
Don't even mention that. But do you understand? Do you really understand that people don't understand that? They believe that the minimum wage, increasing minimum wage, is going to give them more money.
Well, what I can't make anybody understand, I use this because it's something everybody can grasp. At some point, I start packing my own lunch, and I start cutting my own grass.
The problem is when you pack your own lunch and you cut your own grass, it's still different. Do you realize even if you pack your own lunch, bologna used to be a cheap man's meal?
You know, in China, it's cheaper to do that.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You realize bologna used to be a cheap man's meal?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone to buy a pound of bologna lately?
$1.99.
Depends on where you go. It goes up from there. What happened to 39 cents a pound?
Well, see... I'll tell you what exactly happened to 39 cents a pound. It was the increase in the minimum wage.
Connect
the dots, people.
But by the same token, too, it's the debasement of the currency because at one time, factored for inflation in the 1840s, oil was $2,500 a barrel.
Ooh.
When they first hit oil over in Oil City... If it was in today's dollars, it was $2,500 a barrel.
In today's dollars, okay.
Yeah, it was $2,500 a barrel.
So look at today. Look, I mean, so we talk to President Obama, and I want to go over to Syria because we are headed there. And tomorrow he's going to come out and speak. And I listened to the talking heads last night and yesterday afternoon, and I watched them regurgitate talking points. And I watched the chief of staff from the President Obama's administration go from face the nation to
trying to drum up support.
Trying to get the support out of here. And, you know, looking at what he was saying, you know, and I looked at such this is his name Gregory?
David Gregory? Yeah.
I missed Tim Russert. And the little the little soft questions they threw and the little answers that they came back, and then when he came back to re-ask the question, the little soft answers that he got. And I was very, very disheartened by watching this little tete-a-tete between these two men about a very, very serious issue.
Well, what's making me crazy about all of this is none of these reporters will ask the president what's going to happen if we accidentally bomb a Russian ship, or what's going to happen if we accidentally hit a Russian tank column.
No, the question we should be asking the president is, why are you helping America's enemies?
That's true.
That's true. Right, these are the facts, okay? Yes, chemical weapons were used. That's a fact. Who used them? We can't prove it either way, whether it was the rebels, who are basically made up of al-Qaeda and America's enemies, as well as the Muslim underground, or Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a fact also. So, you know, these are the same people that our president helped put in power in Libya, okay, put in power in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the good Muslims of Egypt have overthrown the evil regime
right.
that was in Egypt now. And now our president once again wants to help the same people that flew planes into American buildings on American soil. The president is no better than Benedict Arnold right now. If he helps these enemies of America, he needs to be brought up on treason charges.
Who?
The president. Because we know for a fact that the rebels that he's helping come from al-Qaeda as well as the Muslim Brotherhood. And those are the same people that funded the 9/11 attacks. This is all proof, proven facts.
Yeah. Well, I haven't figured it out. We asked that last. You haven't been here in a couple of days.
Yeah.
No, I'm just telling
I asked
you
the question
facts.
Last week. I don't know why. I don't get it.
Hey, the way the offensive line
why are we helping
land,
the people that hate
you're
it?
Have more, you're going to have
there's
more.
There's only one reason why. Because you're, because you're one of them.
Are you taking it? Yep.
Hey, local caller, your mic is on. You can't push the button and have me pull you up. How you doing? Hello? You push the button. Your mic is on, private caller.
Huh.
Okay. He was there. You heard him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I did hear him. That's, yeah. But no, in all seriousness now, you know,
why?
The president might as well jump into a plane and fly into a building himself if he helps these enemies.
9/11 is in 2 days.
Yeah, well, that's probably what a president's going to hope happens again.
But what we don't understand is Americans.
No.
We talk about Mubarak. We talk about Mubarak and how brutal he was, and Assad's brutal. But when these guys are in power, nobody's burning Christian churches. Nobody's massacring Christians.
Nobody's attacking Israel.
Because nobody's attacking Israel. Because these people have to rule with an iron fist because they're ruling over people that are basically mad dogs. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it.
They're ruling over a certain population that's under extreme clerical control. Not all of them are like that.
Well, I understand
that. If that was the way, you know, let's face
right.
it, Egypt has a large Christian community that's been there for many, many millions of years, going
first
back.
Time,
right.
They've just burned a church.
And under the people that our president helped put in power, they started burning priests or killing priests and burning bridges or burning churches. What I'm saying.
The Muslim Brotherhood just burned a church that has had a Sunday service without cease for 1,400 years.
Yes. I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. In a Muslim, I mean, there are many peace-loving Muslims out there.
Right, and that's the thing. I think Egypt is showing us
yes.
that there are good people out there of the Muslim faith because they threw these people out And now we, our president doesn't want to get behind.
But is it now? Hold on. I'm not convinced that this is all a President Obama thing. Come on now.
I'm not going to blame him.
But
I'm going to say he's
a supporting in chief.
He's a commander in chief, but now
he has supported the wrong side. Day one.
Now that I'll give you.
Okay.
But that's more than just him. I mean, you've got John Kerry running around here.
But he is the commander in chief. He is the one that can order a missile strike.
Kerry does what he tells Kerry to do.
Right. And he's the one that ordered the airstrikes in Libya.
But now,
okay.
No, wait a minute. Hold up. Slow down. President Obama may be the commander in chief, but there's more to the story than the commander and the chief of what's going on. And we understand that, right? Because I don't believe President Obama is not thinking.
I'm sorry.
Because even all these
The
buck stops here, and it stops there too.
Because
I think there's people behind him, and he may have shadow people. It might be Valerie Jarrett. It might be Dan, Axelrod. It could be George Soros. It could be anybody. No, I'm just saying it's bigger than that.
But when you're the president of America, you need to do what's in America's best interest.
But who was the last president that really did all the things that were in the best interest of Americans? Hold on. Private call, your mic is on. Hello? Okay, go ahead.
But when it comes to the Secretary of State, he's the president's chief diplomat. So everything that comes out of his mouth is de facto coming out of the president's mouth.
Yeah, somewhat.
No, that's the way it works.
It should be.
And if it's not,
no.
If it's not, he needs to have, the president needs to call him back to Washington.
Well, you got to remember Hillary Clinton said things that weren't on the president's.
And you got to realize, I got a feeling the reason why Hillary Clinton is there, because remember, Hillary Clinton really, 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 really said, when she broke down and cried and said, you really don't want this man to be a president. I think she was giving some insight to that. I mean, it was more than just a race.
No, I think she knew how
she
evil
knew,
he was.
She knew some things about the president that there was more to it.
She read his book.
She read his book. She knew who he was, and she knew what he was about, and she knew the shape that the world was in because she'd been there before. And then when she came on as Secretary of State, she really took a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she wasn't around very much.
And then she left.
She was on the road a lot. You don't usually see a Secretary of State on the road that much.
She was moving, and if you look at what's going on, you got to look at the players in the room. And those players are.
So you think they set her up?
No, I think she got herself out. They didn't set her up because the Clintons are smart enough to know what they were walking into.
The thing is, look at all the faux pas that shouldn't have had the reset button thing, and just there was an awful lot of things that made her put egg on her face that shouldn't have happened.
Based upon what was going on in the administration,
right.
But remember, she was really, really adamant about him not being there. She was adamant to the point of tears.
Oh, yeah.
And we blamed it on a woman thing and her losing. But now if you look back in hindsight and you look back at what's going on right here, and you remember, because in the debate, remember when she debated during the primary, when Hillary Clinton and President Obama debated, mm-hmm. Remember, he was the one who was going. He was going on talking about. He wanted to go around to all of the enemies,
mm-hmm.
and have this pity pat conversation. And she looked at him like he was ludicrous.
Yeah.
And she said, "You're a novice. You don't know what you're doing." And then
Bill Clinton said he was a novice.
And then he backtailed.
Well, he proved
out of that. He proved it.
Oh, definitely.
But I mean, he skated mm-hmm. backwards and he backpedaled out of it. Mm-hmm. But he still gained momentum enough to win. But we remember that mm-hmm. because he was no more seasoned as a national figure than Sarah Palin.
Right.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm taking my break. It is open mic. Want to hear from you. We're just having a shooting the bull. We got a couple more hours to go. So we just want to hear what you have to say, too. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Area peace activists plan a peace vigil at 7 tonight in downtown Youngstown. It's near the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on Central Square. Activists want to make a stand against any United States military attack on Syria. Organizers say vigils like this are happening all over the country at the same time tonight. A Youngstown man is in jail after police pulled him over and found what appeared to be heroin residue on a digital scale. He's been charged with trafficking and possession of heroin. And police in Salem are investigating an apparent murder-suicide at a Walmart parking lot. Police say a woman was coming back from a break at Walmart and her ex-boyfriend showed up. They argued and shots were fired. Both were found dead on scene. Detectives are reviewing surveillance video. The 37-year-old woman killed worked at that Walmart for 8 years. Police say her ex-boyfriend fired several shots at her before turning the gun on himself. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and Dr. Larry Dinopoulos want to ask you some questions.
Does your partner keep you up at night with their snoring? Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you feel drowsy during the day? Maybe a mandibular repositioning appliance is your answer for sleep apnea and snoring. Sleep apnea is caused when your throat collapses while you're asleep, blocking your airway. Snoring occurs when the airflow from your nose or mouth to your lungs makes the tissues of your airway vibrate. Dr. Dinopoulos may be able to help you sleep better with a mandibular repositioning appliance. You wear it while you're sleeping, and it repositions your lower jaw and tongue in such a way that air can flow more freely. Wearing this appliance can manage sleep apnea and help reduce, if not eliminate, snoring, which leads to a quieter and more restful night's sleep.
This health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Larry Dinopoulos, General Dentistry and Sleep Appliance Therapy. Since 1988 on Main Street in Poland, call 330-757-1722.
Everybody loves a discount, and Grange Insurance offers dozens of them. Good student discounts, defensive driver discounts, home ownership discounts, multi-vehicle discounts, life insurance multi-policy.
Let Crab Insurance Agency in Salem walk you through all of the Grange discounts you may be eligible for. Crab Insurance Agency can help you save a lot of money while you enjoy the worry-free experience of coverage with Grange. Crab Insurance Agency in Salem.
Products not available in all states.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Winter cold can't stop me, baby. No, no, baby.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's 47 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and in studio with me is both Ben and Six. And it's open mic, and we want to have you in. Alabama, your mic is up, just so that you know that. And I don't know, guys. What?
It's Monday.
It is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday's a good day. And,
yeah.
Had a good weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you were a football fan in this area.
I worked hard on Saturday. I worked long on Saturday. And then Sunday I took the day and rested, spent time with family, time with worship.
Yeah, I went to St. Mattress of the Holy Comforter again.
You need to go to church. That's what's wrong with you. JFK, did you hear about JFK's secret slam against Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Governor Cuomo?
JFK?
I'm sorry, RFK.
RFK.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to slam Sharpton. I mean, he leaves himself wide open all the time. Who else did he slam?
Cuomo.
Yeah.
Mario Cuomo.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, New York is such a great place to live.
Jesse Jackson.
Well, he leaves himself pretty open, too, ever since he sold out.
But everybody, you know what, I was having a conversation with some people over the weekend, and they really told me that John F. Kennedy really loved black people.
So did LBJ, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
President Wilson, too.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah. He loved them.
Loved them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to convince them and change their mind of that was not good.
Just don't confuse them with the facts.
Don't confuse them with the facts.
Don't confuse them with the facts, you know. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was not a racist, even though he played Birth of a Nation at the White House for the very first moving picture ever shown. And resegregated the military after it was already desegregated.
That's different.
Oh.
Hey, he did that because he was trying to protect people.
That's different.
And fired all of the
black
of
staff.
The black people in the government in the federal government service.
Yeah.
Above the level of butler or maid.
It's really, really amazing. So, Ben, you know, you're Syrian, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yep.
You don't look it.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
So, do you think we should strike?
Definitely not.
Do you think they're telling the truth about why they want to strike? Do you think it's all about, you know, chemical weapons and people dying in a civil war and we're really concerned, or do you think it's more than that?
Oh, it's definitely more than that. I mean, for the last year, I've been trying to let everybody know what's going on there. I think what's happening is they are taking rulers out of the Middle East that have basically come to terms with Israel and are living with them. You know, maybe it's an uneasy peace, but still peacefully. And they're putting in this new regime, the Muslim Brotherhood, the people that Al-Qaeda work for.
The Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to Hamas?
They're still there.
But
what happened to Hezbollah?
They're still here. They're still funded by Iran also.
It's all heads of the same snake.
Right. So, I mean,
it's all part of the Hydra.
Right. Right. You know, Libya.
So they're all one?
Sort of.
I mean, ask
they're individual groups with the same political
goals.
Objectives.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Ask yourself this question, though. Why would us Americans attack a leader who has complied with all UN resolutions, as well as kicked out all terrorist elements, all enemies of the United States, and in fact was scheduled to have a Mariah Carey concert?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we aid his enemies that were the same as our enemies, the people that attacked us and flew planes into buildings?
Now, have you heard my theory about the pipeline and the oil? And
hold on, before you go there. Don't go to the pipeline.
Right.
Okay. I want to, because we haven't heard from him.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, is there any reason why we would have attacked Gaddafi when we attacked him? Remember, he was most favored nation status.
He'd already turned in all of his weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people we put in power are sworn enemies of America. Okay? So that doesn't make any sense to me why our president would support the rebels in Libya. Then when it came to Egypt, we were helping them overthrow, what was his name, Mubarak or something?
Mubarak, yeah. Mubarak.
And Mubarak, you know, had a peace signed with Israel.
Right.
You know, Israel gave him back the peninsula, and they were trading things between the two countries.
He was living under the Megan tree.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And once again, we helped America,
us
as a whole, our tax dollars went to fund a regime that actually is sworn to destroy America in Egypt. Now, the good Muslims of Egypt and the good people of Egypt have since overthrown this regime, this Muslim Brotherhood regime. Okay? And you have to ask yourself, you know, obviously, same thing's happening in Syria. We're putting in a Sunni-backed, Iranian-backed regime that is going into Syria and is definitely committing crimes against the people of Syria. When you saw them execute people, we've seen that. Now, we don't know who used the chemical weapons. We can't prove it in Syria. But we can prove that these guys have broken international law. The rebels have broken international law. We can prove that they are executing prisoners. We've seen that.
Yes.
And that's what Al-Qaeda does.
They're eating Syrian soldiers' hearts.
Yes.
Ripping them out of their body and eating them.
Well, doesn't that sound like something Satan would do? I mean, really. And we're aiding these people? The same people.
Well, let's step back a couple of steps here and just go, I mean, these are the same people that tie bombs to their children. Why wouldn't they gas their own people?
Of course. Of course. So, why is our president supporting enemies of America? And that's what he's going to do in Syria. If he gives permission or sends planes in to bomb Assad's regime, regardless of how good or bad his regime is, they are not sworn enemies of America.
So my question is, why aren't we hearing that on mainstream news? This question's not being asked.
I think there have been asked, but in a subtle sort of way.
Where?
And I think, why do you think people are protesting? Even in a town like ours, a little town like Youngstown,
Ohio. We're protesting, but we're not protesting. We're not protesting what you just said, because I don't think people really understand that we're going up against the rebels.
Well, the thing is, you've got the power base in both parties that are wanting to go along with this, so any voice that stands against them in either party is getting squelched.
I mean, McCain was even town meeting for it.
Yeah.
I mean, but we know he's probably has the mandate.
Listen, my Congressman Tim Ryan,
uh-huh.
You know, we don't always agree. He's not standing up for it either.
Well, hey, I got to give him.
He's standing against bombing them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I will give him credit. I think that's probably.
And Bill Johnson standing against it, too.
I think that's.
So now.
But the thing is.
So if Congress votes against it, we're going to come back and talk about Congress. But if Congress goes against them, does that mean that he's going to have to strike anyhow? Because right now, they are really putting America in a bad light.
Well, Rand Paul wants to put language in the bill that says that in the resolution that says if it's defeated, the president cannot act.
And I think that's dangerous, too. I think you need to have a commander-in-chief. There has to be one person.
But
we're
in such a gray area here because there is no clear and present danger to the United States of America from Syria. I mean, what scares me, Ben, and you know way more about this than I do, is you have a Russian naval base. President Assad, for all intents and purposes, is Putin's boy in the Middle East.
Yes.
And have you heard my theory on the pipeline?
No.
Okay.
You only got 2 minutes.
They want to run a pipeline from Qatar up to Europe, which would compete with the Russian pipeline. And the only way to get it there is through Syria. And the Syrians are saying no. I mean, I think we're getting ready to either go into a hot war or a proxy war with Russia.
Well, Russia is trying to push Syria to surrender their chemical weapons.
But even if Assad surrenders his chemical weapons, it's proven the rebels already got them.
Yeah, I mean.
And the rebels light them off and blame it on Assad, and then all they got to do is say, well, he didn't give them up.
Right. Right.
Now, are these? Do you guys think these are the same chemical weapons that was in Iraq?
Guaranteed.
Come on now.
Most definitely.
Because I was trying to tell people, they said, well, they never did find any weapons. I'm like, did you read the newspaper lately? Mm-hmm.
Did you read George Sada's book? George Sada was the head general of the Iraqi Air Force. He said everything was either trucked or loaded up in gutted 747s and flown to Syria. Syria was the Barad Valley or Barad, something like that, valley.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you
it
know.
It says John Kerry is given Syria a week to hand over chemical weapons for face attack. But how can he say that hand them over or face attack
first of
if you haven't voted for it yet?
Who the hell is he to say that? He can't call an attack on anybody.
I still think they should have tried him for treason 40 years ago.
Yeah.
John Kerry, I'm going to play it when we come back, but John Kerry said, tell Syria to give up your weapons or we're going to attack you. Well, how can John Kerry stand there and say, if you don't give them up, we're going to attack you when tomorrow Congress votes, Wednesday Congress votes and President Obama speaks to the nation on tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what kind of message are we sending to the peaceful, loving Muslims in the world when we're attacking, you know, not the radicals now. We're not attacking the radical element of the Muslim religion here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why we're attacking people that are going to, if they're no longer there, there's no barrier between them and Israel and them and us.
Well, you just had the head of the Catholic Church in Syria write a letter to President Obama begging him not to attack and overthrow Assad because of genocide for Christians in Syria if these people get control.
Well, there you go. I mean, come on. It's common sense, people. Common sense. Our president's a traitor. If he issues an attack, he's a traitor. He's aiding and abetting our enemies.
I don't think
sworn
he has
enemies.
But wait a minute, hold on. But I don't think he has a. I don't think he has. Does he have a choice?
Yes, he does.
What's the choice? They go home and go on vacation again and go play some golf. What?
Well, he's done that any other weekend, you know, during his administration. No, his choice is we should be helping Assad. We should be getting rid of terrorists all over the world. Why take out Bin Laden to have somebody else attack America? Does that make any sense to you? Why? What do we have against Israel? Why are we setting up governments in the area that want to attack Israel?
Beats me.
You know, unless you're a radical Muslim, which our president very well could be, actions speak louder. Actions speak louder than words, Tracy.
I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. We're going to come back after our break. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic, and we'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Granite laws are often.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A possible way out of the U.S.-Syrian standoff? ABC's Aaron Kutursky says a proposal for Syria to give up its chemical weapons is gaining momentum.
It was Secretary of State Kerry who first suggested it.
He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community.
It might have been wishful thinking, but then Russia ran with it and offered to push Syria to give up control of its chemical weapons and eventually destroy them. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon welcomed the idea.
I'm considering urging the Security Council to demand the immediate transfer of Syria's chemical weapons.
There's word from Damascus, Syria would do it. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
An online video that's gotten over 1 million hits shows a man named Matthew Cordell confessing to killing another man in a drunk driving accident in Columbus, Ohio. Today, Cordell, who's 22, was indicted on a charge of aggravated vehicular homicide in the wrong-way collision that killed a 61-year-old man. CDC is boasting that its graphic tips from former smokers' ad campaign may have helped more than 100,000 smokers kick the habit last year. CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden.
It reminded smokers and others that not only does smoking kill, it also causes severe problems with daily life, with disability and disfigurement.
Yet another recommendation for breast cancer screening. A new Harvard medical study suggests that screening women under 50 for breast cancer can save lives, though not everybody agrees with the report's findings. ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser.
The concern is early screening, you're going to detect a lot of tumors that would have caused no problem. You're going to have put women through treatment and biopsies they didn't need. The feeling by many is it's a personal decision that should be covered by insurance. If you're under 50, think about your family history, check and make sure it's covered, and then decide which way you want to go.
This is ABC News.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now or call and mention promo code AWARE to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
As the NFL cracks down on concussions, some say this will lead to more injuries below the waist. ABC's Gio Benitez says there's already an uptick in knee injuries.
Why are we seeing so many knee injuries? Some say it's new NFL rules, fining players for hits to the head, which can cause concussions. Texans rookie DJ Swearinger told the Palm Beach Post, "In this league, you've got to go low. If you go high, you're going to get a fine." An NFL official reportedly said the league will keep a close eye on hits to knees and could change the rules if the hits are, quote, becoming a problem. Gio Benitez, ABC News, New York.
Engineers in Utah have developed wireless sensors that can detect a person falling. This monitoring technology could be linked to a service that would call for help for the elderly without requiring them to wear any monitoring device. Studies show 80% of elderly adults who own call buttons didn't use them when they fell. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Attention men, are you urinating often, waking at night?
Stop in today at your local Ford dealer and see why Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio. With so many options and attractive leasing, there is no reason to consider any other brand. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. Can you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600? I was just stuck on that one story. I'm trying to change it. I was trying to go somewhere else, but I just can't. It's just, the song is so befitting.
Yeah, it is. Although it's really not true. War is good for a lot of things.
Well, the problem is we don't wage war anymore. No. I was watching some military channel stuff this weekend, World War II in color. We don't wage war anymore. when they were bombing those cities in Europe, there wasn't one brick left on top of another one.
Y'all know my stand. I just don't know why when we break it, we buy it, we don't own it. I don't. Who signs something with the UN that when I break it, you own it?
That's what I said. I don't understand why everybody's calling the West Bank an occupied area. Them people attacked Israel. Israel kicked their butts, so it's their piece of land.
I just don't understand. I'm just confused. The number's 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I am sitting in here with Six and Ben. I just don't understand.
Well, yeah, look at it. You know what, 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire conquered a territory. It became part of the Roman Empire,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
We conquer somebody today, we build them back up so they can challenge us again. Look at Germany, look at Japan. Economically, Japan, Germany, militarily.
Yeah, well, and not only that, we said we'll take care of all your protection so they don't have to spend
any money,
any of their money, yeah, any of their GDP on
right.
on self-defense.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the big problems that we're having in the Middle East, you know, such as Afghanistan. What do you build up? There was nothing there to start with. I'm serious. I mean, those people lived in mud huts, and they were happy. I mean, and which is really ironic because it's the cradle of civilization. Civilization started there, but yet ever since it started there, the Fertile Crescent, okay, they have gone back to the Stone Age.
But now
it's like they've rejected society.
Because America's arrogance. America believes because we live a certain way, everyone should live like we live.
No, I'm just saying they went down to the Stone Age.
There's a civilized way of living.
Alabama, your mic's on.
There's a civilized way of living that doesn't include cutting your wife's head off if she's caught in adultery.
But that's your if you listen,
no, you
if you want
if
you want
divorce,
if you want to live somewhere and you know if you sleep around you're going to get your head cut off and that's your custom of where you live. Who am I as an American to tell you? You shouldn't do that.
Oh, you're right. It's none of our business, but Ben was saying it's the birthplace of civilization, and they're no longer acting civilized.
But that's their business. If they want to go down the street and play the hokey-pokey and turn themselves around, that's their business. My question is, why is it that I have to go right now? The American people are going around spreading this, you ought to allow same-sex marriage. And so now we've tied our foreign aid to, you know, countries that want to promote same-sex unions.
And abortion.
Why are we doing that?
Because the people that are in power in this country are idiots. They're stupid and they...
I mean, think about what we do.
No, they're not stupid. They're highly intelligent. They're just ideologues.
Right. I mean, first of all, they're going to tell you, well, we're doing it to promote the American way. Sorry, that's not the American way.
But
that's the progressive way. Which is not American whatsoever.
I mean, you saw last week with the Massachusetts in the pledge, and they're fighting to take God out of the pledge, in the Supreme Court of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You got Wiener, who likes to show his winky on Facebook, running for mayor of New York.
Mm-hmm. The WikiLeaks guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you got all this kind of mess going on in America, and we want everyone to be like us. Our homicide rate is up. Our educations are down. Our children are as wacky as any other whack job out there. And we want everybody to be like us. Why?
You know, 100 years ago, we used to have things called World's Fair. And a lot of them were held in America because our cities were beautiful. The education rate was great. Society was doing wonderful.
We had the greatest technology on the planet.
Exactly. I mean, to hold a World's Fair in America today is almost as laughable as holding it in Afghanistan.
There was one in Chicago.
Yeah. A big one. I mean, in Chicago, it's like we just hold a World's Fair in downtown Detroit. You know? I mean, if you have bulletproof vests.
That's not fair. That's not fair, Ben. Because downtown Detroit is not like.
Okay,
not like
downtown a, Chicago.
No.
Let's go downtown. I mean.
That's not right. That's not right.
Let's go downtown Pittsburgh, downtown Cleveland.
No, that's not true.
I mean,
Pittsburgh.
Youngstown's not bad. When Youngstown was the capital murder place, it wasn't bad unless you go to look for it.
I'm just going by the education rates, the crime rate, and everything else. That's what I'm saying. I mean, wasn't like that in Chicago 100 years ago.
But then 100 years ago, I mean, things were totally different.
Well,
I mean, we didn't lock our doors either.
That's right.
We need to play FDR's D-Day prayer. You would never hear a president do that today.
I haven't seen the administration call for prayer yet.
Well, that's been in the back of the mosque. I mean, if you can't see, this guy's a radical
Muslim.
Have
you?
I don't think so. I honestly believe he's an atheist with Muslim sympathies. I honestly believe
that. Why do you believe that?
Because of his actions.
Well, look who he was tutored by, a communist.
Because of his actions, and right, because of his
upbringing.
Upbringing. Mm-hmm. I mean, communists are atheists by nature. I mean, that's part of their creed.
Mm-hmm.
The state is God.
That's what Hitler said.
So why is everyone so quiet on this? I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, is this how America? I mean, let me ask this question:
well,
is America so numb that they don't care anymore, or is America so ignorant, or do they go along with this?
No, I think America's been conditioned to turn its back on God.
If Barack Obama was white, what do you think? Do you think it'd be any different?
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm talking same morals, same ideals, same everything.
Policy.
Yeah.
Same policies, everything.
Yeah, it'd be different.
Except he's blonde haired and blue eyed.
Yeah, it'd be different.
I don't think it would be.
Yeah, it would be.
I'd be speaking out against him just like he spoke.
We're not talking about how you would feel. We're talking about with this whole situation and with America.
What would the press be doing? Would the press still be?
Would America be single toes?
Well, here's the only difference. They wouldn't be able to play the race card.
But this is different.
You would be able to openly criticize the president without somebody saying, "You're prejudiced." Yeah, I hate dumb people that put bad policy and hurt the American people. If that's being prejudiced, then I am.
Hey, well, how come I'm racist because I didn't vote for Barack Hussein Obama, but the people that didn't vote for Ken Blackwell aren't?
That's a great question.
The same reason why some white guy asked me on Saturday night, why is it that when black people become successful, they don't help their own?
What's the answer to that?
It's because they've been conditioned not to.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Remember, the indoctrination of a mindset comes from the person who puts it in you. And what they did, what people fail to realize, and so when we talk about race and racism, you look at JFK. The conversation that I had Saturday morning, people were telling me that JFK loved black people, and that Republicans were the ones who wanted to keep people enslaved and in slavery, and the Democrats wanted to free them. They knew nothing about the Ku Klux Klan and the Democrat Party. They knew nothing about, LBJ. And him, you know, saying, if we do this, we'll own them. They knew nothing of that. And so they have conditioned them to not think. And they've conditioned them to lead the voice of their master. And make sure that if you get free, you don't come back to free your own. But remember, if the slave, there, you don't hear a whole lot of stories about a lot of free people coming back to slaves. To free the slaves. Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad, there were some.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she'd have freed 1,000 more if she could have convinced them that they were slaves.
Boy, does that ever stand true today, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Now, you know, now slavery is not a color. Slavery is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a huge amount of people. And they've done it in a socioeconomic status to where people really don't understand by their economic situation that they are poor is a mindset. Broke is a state of position. I'm broke, but I'm not poor.
What?
Poor says I can't go out and make it for myself. Broke says I just don't have any money in my pocket, but wait until tomorrow.
Right.
And poor. We have conditioned Americans to be poor.
Right.
And not to be able to hustle on their own and to glean their own and to work on their own. And more we enable, and going back to what I said about President Barack Obama when we first got elected, he didn't capitalize on the position that he was in. Because what he did not do is he did not – remember all that hope and change that he was talking about?
Now it's you just hope to have some change.
No, he never instilled independent hope away from government assistance.
Well, it's not only government assistance, though, Tracy. We've spent 100 years enslaving middle-class America because instead of teaching people to save for their own retirements.
This is not about saving.
It's about, yes, it is. It's about a mindset.
No.
Somebody's always going to take care of me.
Listen,
for the last 100 years, we have been indoctrinating people. Somebody else is going to take care of me.
This is where you and I get off.
Right.
It's not about saving. It's about surviving.
I understand.
And what I'm saying is you can't save until you can survive. I'm sorry. I cannot have one loaf of bread and feed a family of four and save it for tomorrow so that we'll eat again. And what's happening is I only have one loaf of bread. So I need to have hope. And if you kill my hope, you kill my future. See, I save based upon my hope. But you killed my hope. You tell me that I am not sufficient enough to actually survive and that I've got to come back to you tomorrow for the same loaf of bread.
We're saying the same thing.
But you're talking.
I'm talking about the average guy that punches a time clock every day. He's been conditioned to believe that my employer has to provide me with my health care. My employer has to provide me with my pension.
You've gone too far.
No, it's all part of the same thing.
No.
Help me out here, Ben.
No.
Well, I see both sides of the story.
And what I'm saying is,
I mean, somebody who's actually working, and even if it's a union job. And yes, they may be considered or they may have the same benefits that the government gives people who aren't working. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's free health care now, and you have health insurance through your employee. I mean, it is the same, only this guy's going to work every day and somebody's sitting home all day saying, poor me.
And what I'm saying is, if you promise me, see, my problem with what you're talking about, we have senior citizens who have saved their money.
Mm-hmm.
They had a guaranteed pension.
Right.
They were supposed to have guaranteed benefits.
Yep.
And they allowed them to take it away from them.
Absolutely. And that, they did it 30 years ago.
And they called and we allowed it.
And we allowed it 30 years ago.
I don't care.
Nothing new.
It's not about being nothing new. I'm talking about 30 years ago and or today, they should have never allowed it. Because once I go into a contract with you and you tell me that for my 35 years of service, you're going to give me 2 cents on a dollar, then you ought to give me what you owe me.
Right. We both have parents that are in those shoes.
But what I'm saying is I've done the right thing. It's like when you tell a young lady or a young man, go to school, get an education, do this, and you can get a job. And what we have done is we have taken the hope out of America. There is no – it's to start your own business, they make it very, very difficult,
mm-hmm.
even from nothing.
Sure.
So we've taken the hope. So I'm no longer dependent on the government. I'm trying to rely on myself, and you won't let me do it.
Right.
Because you've taken – you've killed my hope.
Right.
Every time I go to work and I do my job, and then you penalize me because of what Ben does. You kill my hope.
Right. We're on the same page.
But when it comes to saving, I'm saying I can't save until I actually have something in my hand. And what is happening to the American people is we won't let anything stay in their hand long enough to hold on to.
Right. If you start a business, God help you if you want to employ somebody.
Not even.
I mean, God help you if you want to have an employee.
God help you if you make money.
Yeah.
You can't survive. They don't give you enough to pay your own. They don't allow you to have. You don't see people saying, "I'm going to go and start doing my own wares so that I can actually become something, and I no longer have to depend on anyone else, including an employer."
Well, right. There's also a difference in General Motors working there. Making good money. I don't understand how anybody working there would ever go in bankruptcy, but a lot of people do live within their means, but even more people live, outside of their means.
It's my understanding that Lordstown is the industrial facility in this area with the largest rate of bankruptcy per capita.
It is. So
money doesn't necessarily fix poverty.
Money is not equated to wealth.
And I'm not saying that you're supposed to give somebody hope, but you're America is supposed to be the land of
opportunity.
Absolutely. And what you've done is the 47% that Romney talked about, it was all about people who were receiving entitlements, not necessarily Social Security, but entitlements, people who were dependent upon someone else outside of their own physicality to produce for them or to feed them.
Right, and not all of those people were most of those people were capable of taking care of themselves.
With the earned income credit, you have an astronomical number of people that are receiving government assistance without realizing they're receiving government assistance.
Gone too far. Without even going that far. When you are working a minimum wage job and you allow me, let's go back to education. The number is 347-945-5229. You sit in a classroom for 13 years, at least 6 hours a day for 180 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that about right?
Mm-hmm.
And the average American student somewhere along they deposit approximately anywhere from $11,000 to $17,000 in that student for each year.
Correct.
And you walk across the stage with a piece of paper, and you still don't know how to function and to think on your own so that you can become a productive adult.
Which is by design.
It's not about whether it's by design or whether it's not by design. If you don't give a person an education and give them an independent cerebral thought, they cannot have hope because they have nothing to build upon.
Well, they don't know no better.
That's what I said.
You're better off taking that $17,000, putting it in an escrow account for 12 years, and then telling that person, as soon as you learn how to read and write, that's yours.
You
would have more success in the United States than what our education system is doing now.
Right. And remember, parents sent their child into this place thinking that they're going to get something, not realizing the parent that's sending the child in there walked through the same school district and received absolutely nothing either.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have cerebral thought, if you don't have intellect, if you don't have anything to grab onto, you cannot learn.
You have to be educated enough to know how uneducated you are.
Absolutely.
And if you don't realize that, that's an old adage. We were so poor, we didn't know it. We didn't know how poor we was because everybody was poor.
We have eroded. We are eroding and have eroded any way for people to become independent thinkers and to begin thinking outside the box so that they can have an education, so that they can have their own businesses, so that when you lay me off from work, I still can go make a living.
Well, that goes back to what I said earlier. Two things every child wants to do, learn and work, and we've taken both away from
them. But you keep on telling me I got to save. I can't save because the oil in my hand slides before I can hold onto it, and it's by design. They do so. No matter how much I don't spend, no matter how much I don't do, no matter how much I don't go, it is not made for me to hold on to, because in America today, we don't want anyone to absorb the American dream. We no longer want America to grow.
We're changing.
Who said?
Saw it this morning.
Huh?
Latest survey, 22-year-olds. Was it 18 to 22-year-olds? You know what the number one American dream is now among 18 to 22-year-olds?
What's that?
Living debt-free.
But even
they equate that to the American dream.
Listen, living debt-free is the American dream. I'm with it. But if you don't have anything, if you don't know how to make a living on your own, if you don't have the necessary tools to go out and go fishing, and you don't know the difference between bait and hook, you might be debt-free, but you still don't have what you need to survive. And America, and I said this on Friday, and you may not have heard it, America is designed that for every citizen, they have to be a productive participant in democracy and in the system. What we are doing is we are eroding the responsibility of every citizen to be dependent. So we have so many people who are not contributing and so many other people who are disenfranchised with giving too much They're trying to take a loaf of bread and feed everybody with it, and we don't have enough. And that's why we're in the fiscal condition we are in America today. We've got too many people pulling the resources of America and not putting anything back in.
Too many people riding a wagon, not enough people pushing.
That's what I'm saying. And until we change the mindset to where everyone has to contribute, inside of a family unit, when we used to sit at the supper table, when you were too young to actually wash dishes or do anything, your parents would have you put the plate on the table or put the silverware on the table because you were contributing to the supper table.
Right.
Today, we're not allowing our young people to contribute to the democracy of America. And we are raising people to never contribute but to only suck the resources out of it. And you cannot survive sucking resources. You've got to plant. That's why we have what we have up in the White House today. And no one's questioning him. That's why we have what's in the media, mindless television, and no one's questioning them. Miley Cyrus is an intelligent young lady, but she thinks she needs to go around and spank a little dwarf on the behind to make it big. This is not about saving money. This is about self-esteem and democracy and responsibility and having a wherewithal to move forward. That's no one America saves. Nothing in America is worth anything, including the money.
Well, you've got a point there. I mean, they're destroying our currency by the minute.
No, it's not worth anything.
Destroying our currency.
If you go buy a Reese cup is the size of a quarter now, and you pay $1.75 for it. We used to have them, and they were, three or four times the size. And we paid 49 cents for it.
But minimum wage was only 3.25 back then.
Right.
And until we actually comprehend this. And so when we talk about President Obama, he ran on hope. But there was no hope. He stole it.
You know, what has he done?
He gave us
false hope.
Have hope be changey Christmas.
Yeah. No, I mean, what has he done for not just the black community, but for America in whole? What great thing has he done? I mean, are the inner cities better?
We got to fight ourselves more.
What did he do?
I can tell you what he did. He made a lot of folks put a picture on the wall and be proud to have a black man and a straightening comb in the White House.
And is that enough for black America?
Yes.
Oh, so it's, and it's...
Because the Congressional Black Caucus, they're going to stand with him because...
I'll tell you what, here's the difference. A white president gets in there, right? I don't care what party he is, he better do something for America or I'm not going to support him. He better do something
he
for
can't.
America.
We have no choice. And it came back...
So you're telling me he's getting a black pass?
I said he's got the black pass.
He's got the black pass.
So are they going to be mad at him when he starts drafting their sons?
No.
To go fight Russia?
No, they're going to blame you for it.
No,
Because if you supported him, like you should have,
no, come on.
We wouldn't be here. Because it's Bush's fault.
It's Bush's fault.
And I did hear that over the weekend. 267, your mic is on.
The only comment I wanted to make is that people should be convinced now that Obama is there to serve a particular role as president. He didn't come in to change anything. He's going to keep everything the way it is. And he was put in to bring in a certain population of people into the government so that we can make a transition to a social democracy. And I recently saw a news story on 60 Minutes where they were talking about the number of robots that they're going to put into the workplace, and that a lot of the scientists are wondering now, what are we going to do with all these excess people? Because eventually the jobs that are in Asia, where you have Chinese workers that are working in factories, those jobs are going to come back to America, but they're not going to come back to American workers. The people who are going to be doing those jobs are going to be the robots. So they're going to put robots in these factories, and that's going to cause the American economy to come back, because what can happen is somebody who runs a business can buy a robot that will cost them about $60,000. They can run that robot for 4 years, and it will be the same amount if they had a manufacturing plant over in China. So the business owner is paying the same amount as he would have to pay if he had some manufacturing plant over in China or some other country like that. So he can purchase these robots and run these robots to run his business. He doesn't need American workers anymore. That's the reason why they're breaking down the labor unions in this country, because they don't want to pay these union wages. They want right-to-work states. They want to be able to fire and hire at the time that they want to. And the problem is going to be you're going to have a lot of people in the American workplace who are not going to be able to get work anymore. So therefore, the government is going to have to subsidize their income. A lot of them will get part-time work, but they won't make enough money to buy food or to buy gasoline. So the government's going to have to increase the taxes on everybody who does have a job to help to pay for the people who will not be able to get a job.
Now my question is, how many cars is a robot going to buy?
Well,
It doesn't do any good to manufacture anything if there's nobody earning a wage to buy it.
I don't know how many they're going to buy, but they're going to be driving them.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But let me say this. Let me, and I agree. I said the same thing earlier. I saw the same special on 20 Minutes yesterday, and they talked about each robot takes up a person and a half, and it's been on my mind for a while. And now they are not putting in for the number of populace. And no, people won't be driving cars. But the question is, what will they be doing?
But by the same token, how many picks and shovels did a bulldozer displace?
Quite a few, but remember, we are not making people think so that they can be innovative, so that they can start actually exchange wares. See, if you continue to have a population who's exchanging monetary wares, then they will go back and buy a Cadillac, and if they're thinking, they'll become innovative. We have to understand that if you have a thinking populace, if you have a populace that is growing and that is producing, then you are always producing. But when you have a population who is not producing and always taking, then you have nothing producing, and no, they will not buy cars.
You know what's funny, though? It's only a matter of time before the EPA comes and shuts down the robots because they're creating too many greenhouse gases.
Yeah, that's
true. It's too much electricity.
No, wait a minute. They're going to get rid of people because they create too much methane.
Well, they'll get rid of both of us.
Maybe that's what they want. They want rid of people and nothing but electric machines that run on solar power.
That's what they say on their monument down in Atlanta, Georgia. You know.
And we just have to, and we need to pay attention to that. And that's my issue is, once you get, you'll save. You don't have to save. You can do what you choose to do with what you do. But right now, we don't even get the opportunity to get. They play with gasoline prices. They play with the monetary system. They play with the interest rates. They play with your investments. They play with everything that you put your hands to, and they won't allow anyone to accumulate anything, not even grain in your own vats.
Oh, yeah, that's coming too. The case law on growing your own groceries is already in place.
I'm talking about just grain. You know, at one time you used to be able to get stockpile something. They don't want us to have anything anymore.
Well, no, because I've said there's a certain class of people in this country that their greatest fear is an independent citizen.
So my question is, when in the world do we understand that the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the erosion? Someone said last week that Osama bin Laden is winning from the grave because they are spying on Americans. The IRS is now the watchdog of America when it comes to your health care. And we strip search going through the airport. We have no safety. We have drones. We have cameras everywhere. Our kids are run amok. Things are out of whack. We have no financial stability.
And we have a president unwilling to do anything to help America.
And a president who wants to go strike Syria for something that he won't tell the truth about. Because I believe that we need to strike Syria. I believe that.
I don't.
That was right. A comma.
Okay.
She's looking at me. Can you tell?
The problem is.
She wants me to say something.
I know, because I know you know. The problem is they won't tell the truth.
They're not striking the right
about what they're doing and why they're striking.
Mm-hmm. They didn't tell us the truth about Libya. They didn't tell us the truth about Egypt. And they're starting things up in Lebanon as well as Jordan. Once they get the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of all those countries, then you're going to have your attack against Israel. And whose fault is it? Our president's.
Do we understand that?
I understand. I can't hear you. Oh, that's because he took my mic.
Your mic's there.
Yeah.
He plugs in.
He ain't plugging.
And the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600-267. Your mic's still up. Private caller, your mic is up also. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say about what we're talking about. We'll go anywhere and we'll talk about anything. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Last year, just 2 months before the presidential election,
howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Area peace activists plan a peace vigil at 7 tonight in downtown Youngstown. It's near the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on Central Square. Activists want to make a stand against any United States military attack on Syria. Organizers say vigils like this are happening all over the country at the same time tonight. A Youngstown man is in jail after police pulled him over and found what appeared to be heroin residue on a digital scale. He's been charged with trafficking and possession of heroin. And police in Salem are investigating an apparent murder-suicide at a Walmart parking lot. Police say a woman was coming back from a break at Walmart and her ex-boyfriend showed up. They argued and shots were fired. Both were found dead on scene. Detectives are reviewing surveillance video. The 37-year-old woman killed worked at that Walmart for 8 years. Police say her ex-boyfriend fired several shots at her before turning the gun on himself. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle, and stands out from the competition.
Well, we have an incredible benefits package that includes medical, dental, and vision coverage. We have our on-site fitness centers and doctor's offices. We offer the 401ks where they can invest in their future. We have competitive pay rates to be competitive with everybody in the area and then still, you know, employ the highest quality people, and we're still growing and looking to employ more of the valley. We have the job hotline, which is 1-800-210-6269. They can also go to our website, infocision.com, and they can still even apply online.
Putting America and our valley back to work.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the Consumer Tax Hotline today at 1-800-684-5554. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-684-5554. When you call, you will speak with qualified companies that will tell you how to stop the collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments. Plus, these companies will deal directly with the IRS on your behalf, so you won't have to. Even if you haven't file returns or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get relief. The current government administration is very amicable and wants to work out a program in your best interest, but this won't last forever, and your tax problem only gets worse if you do nothing or try to handle it yourself. It does make a big difference in who you call, so call the Consumer Tax Hotline today for free information. 1-800-684-5554. That's 1-800-684-5554.
Chances are your air conditioner isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911, or ainsleyhtg.com.
Why wait an hour for prescriptions? Fred's Family Pharmacy will get it to you fast. We match the $4 generic prices listed at the big box pharmacies. Locally owned and operated, Fred's Family Pharmacy offers free local delivery and free blood pressure tracking. Open daily from 9 to 6, Saturday till 1, closed Sunday. Stop in and pick up your free medical record wallet card. 1136 East State Street in Salem, across from Circle K. 330-332-9919. Fred's Family Pharmacy.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Good God, y'all.
Oh,
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 1:46 here on the 9th of September. Time is flying by so fast, and we were talking during the break, and Sticks and I, we just don't see eye to eye because he lives in the pie in the sky in the clouds, and I just live on the natural.
I have faith in my fellow American.
I don't have faith in them because I think we've been deluded so much, and until we stop this train and move it forward, we lose. Want to hear from you today. Ben, you were talking about Syria during the break, and I told you that I wanted you to tell a little bit about the history of Syria and Assad and how this works and how Al-Qaeda and how bin Laden and all this intertwined
together. Yeah. Well, you know, basically in the Middle East, you got two types of religions. You got a Sunni and a Shiite religion. And you've also got many factions within those religions. So that's one thing you need to realize. They're very fractured over there. They don't believe in the same thing, and there's many different, I'm going to say, tribes, because that's basically how they consider themselves as tribes. The Ba'ath Party, which everybody knows, Saddam Hussein was in the Ba'ath Party, and that was the evil party that we attacked per George Bush. But what's little known is that the starter of the Ba'ath Party is actually Assad's father. The person that's in Syria right now, the leader of Syria, his father started the Ba'ath Party. And it was a way they were able to control, through the party, the different Muslim factions. And as you know, Iraq and Iran were at war for, what, in the 80s. They've been at war forever, but in the 80s it was a hot war, and we were helping Saddam Hussein in the Ba'ath Party, as well as, you know, helping the Iranians, because, you know, divide and conquer was a strategy we used to make sure the oil flowed in the Middle East. So once you realize the background and you see what's going on, and now all of a sudden we're going to get rid of Assad's son. What's his name? Hafez Assad was his father, and the Assad that's in there now.
Bashir
Assad. You got to realize these guys are real moderates when it comes to everything. When it comes to Israel, they were very moderate.
Doesn't Bashar Assad have an American wife?
Yes. Well, no, I think a British wife.
Okay.
Western
woman.
Western woman, yes. Okay. Yes. And he's, you know, to me it's beyond belief why we would want to help an enemy of America take over a country like Syria.
Well, you know, could you guys remember Joe Biden saying that if Romney won, we'd be at war in Syria?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really, it's beyond me, other than, you know, the only thing that I could think of is that they're setting up for an attack on Israel. We know our president is not a friend of Israel. He's made that perfectly clear by shunning him and by giving military aid to Israel's enemies.
Now, when you say Sunni and Shia, those are both sects of Islam, correct?
Yes, the two major branches.
Can that be equated to Catholic and Protestant, kind of, sort of?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And, yes, they have come to blows, just like in North Ireland. You know, the fighting over there was two different religions. Same thing in the Middle East. That was the whole thing between Iraq and Iran.
And is one of these factions more Western-friendly than the other?
No, I'd say there's Western friendly in both factions. The difference is in the Sunni religion, there's the fifth pillar, the pillar that states that it's okay to kill if you're not a Muslim. It's okay to make non-Muslim people pay to be alive. It's okay to behead your wife if you no longer love her.
That's the same group that believes in the 12th Imam, and we have to bring
it's 12th,
about
it's the third Imam, isn't
12th.
It?
Yeah, you know what? I think they all believe in that. It's just that the radical Sunni fifth pillar religion is saying that, hey, we're going to make it happen now by doing what we're doing.
By creating
a
firestorm worldwide.
Exactly, by attacking Israel.
From what I understand, it almost like reads in Revelation in reverse.
Yes, almost. Almost. I mean, they're saying it's bringing in a new power, a new Enlightenment period, a new, but it's really, you know.
I'm going to ask a question.
It's the Antichrist to me.
I need to pick up the call. Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Hey, sweet Tracy, it's Deanne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, darling?
Good, good. Hey, my cousin is telling me that in church yesterday, she's Eastern Orthodox, and they had, there was a gentleman in their congregation who had had, like, direct email with a monastery in Syria. And this nun was reporting that the rebels were the ones who were killing Christians, and they were the ones behind these chemical weapon attacks. And they were talking about this beautiful monastery there that had survived like 1,500 years, and these rebels obliterated it. And they were saying that in some places there are Muslims that are coming to them, to the Christians, and saying that they're being visited by a vision of Christ, and that they want to know more about Christ. Hmm. And it's such a concern to me because, you know, we know Bible prophecy, and I just think that, you know, this is such a foolhardy endeavor to engage in. And yet, I trust that, you know, God's will is perfect and, you know, will unfold. So I think the best that we can do is to voice our opinions and then entrust this situation to God.
Pray.
And
yeah.
Last night there was a man on, I couldn't sleep, and when I got up I just clicked the radio on, I think it was that Coast to Coast program that's on very late, but he was a man speaking about military things, and he said that he believes this is a way to bring in a one world military, you know, like they want a one world currency, economic one world monetary fund. They want a one world military, and this will deplete us so much that we will not be, you know, a superior military power. And this man says that he believes this is a setup so that the one world military power will be established.
Let me throw this into the what you're saying. We need to understand that all this, everything that's going on, whether you believe it or not, is headed towards a global mindset. And they always use one world order, but it's so you're looking at one world religions, you're looking at one world currency, you're looking at one world military, you're looking at one world operations. They're trying to make this euphoric utopia. And they think that they can manufacture this and that we can coexist. And so those of us who are people who believe in Bible, you see all of the stars aligning. You just have to be mindful of the signs of the times are aligning within itself. The question is, when are we going to actually become the voice in the wilderness telling people to shake out of the sleep that they're in and don't go into the gas chamber because it's not a shower?
How about we start now? Wake up, America. Obama's a traitor.
But you put Obama's face on it.
I'm putting his face on it because he's the one that's doing it.
But remember, Kissinger said that he would be the perfect person to bring forth one world order.
Well, then, hey.
The new world order.
That's what he said.
Well, I'll put his face on it, too, and tell
him. Hey, Matt, your mic's on.
How you doing, guys? You know,
good, how you
America,
doing?
I'm just wonderful. It's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow.
I heard that.
90 degrees, wait, I got a sweater on today.
Well, I'm not that far from you, Tracy, so you're probably going to get it. To comment on what Ben just said, America is actually starting to wake up. It's starting to. And I'm usually
good.
The pessimist, but if you look at some of these polls when it's coming out about this war, there's tons of polls, and it's on both sides. America, the whole of America, the vast majority of America does not want to go to war in Syria. They don't want it, period. But it's going to be ignored. because our representatives in Congress, in the Senate, our president, anybody who claims to represent us doesn't. Back when with Iraq, when that started happening, and a lot of people like to call, you know, us conservatives hypocritical because of what we're saying now, but they don't look at the past. They don't even remember when they were there when we were going into Iraq. When we went into Iraq, we had a world community going with us. It was their idea. It really wasn't ours as much as it was the United Nations idea to go in because the weapons inspectors were blocked. The Democrats who claim to represent us in Congress were all for going to war. They were pushing the president to go to war. It was, and as far as the rest of the American public, there was a 63% approval rate to go into Iraq. Nobody understands that this is a completely different situation with Syria. We go into Syria, it's problems. It is eventual world war because of what it makes America look like. And I have to say, that's what we're becoming, and it is pushing towards that one world government, because that's what this is all about. This is about getting our foot in as much, how can I put this nicely, dog do
manure?
As possible.
Manure.
No,
America right. is starting to wake up a little bit. It's just our representatives are
Matt,
just our, whichever
Matt,
way they want.
Matt.
Yes,
don't
sir.
Believe it. They're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, they got to wake up. I mean,
no.
It's a little-known fact, but did you know that the first Gulf War, okay, did you know that, believe it or not, Al-Qaeda wanted to fight on the UN side against Saddam Hussein? Did you realize that?
Ben, he just said America's waking up.
I know.
All right, can you Matt, they're not waking up about what's going on. They're waking up about the war.
I'm not saying that they know what's going on. I'm saying that they're not approving, because you have to understand, these are liberals. They don't go to war. Look at John Kerry. John Kerry was everything he's for right now, he was completely against in Vietnam. So it's not that they understand what's happening. It's that they understand that their president that they elected is really starting to make himself open and public with his lies and his political strategies. They're starting
no,
to see
No, they don't
that.
See that. They don't see that. That's not what they see.
But, well, you know, Tracy, when you began the program, you said that you were concerned because of so many people being unaware or...
Sleep?
That's it. And I see that, too, and I see that, you know, even in the Christian community. I see people whose hearts are being tugged at when they see these pictures of... you know, corpses of you know, innocent children. And right away, they draw the conclusion that, you know, the government over there has done this.
Assad regime.
They agree with that. And they don't think about the rebel community. They don't, I mean, that's not even in their head. They're just thinking this horrible government has done this to the citizenry.
Which we cannot prove.
Hey, listen,
there is no proof of that.
Hey, guys, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Yes, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon.
I'm considering urging the Security Council to demand the immediate transfer of Syria's chemical weapons and chemical precursor stocks to places inside Syria where they can be safely stored and destroyed.
President Obama continues his PR effort to convince lawmakers and the American public that attacking Syrian defenses is the right thing to do. National Security Advisor Susan Rice.
Failing to respond brings us closer to the day when terrorists might gain and use chemical weapons against Americans abroad and at home.
A 22-year-old Ohio man who confessed in a much-watched online video to a drunk driving death has been indicted. ABC's Scott Goldberg.
I killed a man.
At first, the speaker's identity is hidden in this confession posted online last week.
I struck a car. Then a 22-year-old comes sharply into focus.
My name is Matthew Cordell, and on June 22, 2013, I hit and killed Vincent Canzani.
Cordell says when he gets charged, he'll plead guilty and take full responsibility for everything he's done. Now a grand jury has indicted him on one count of aggravated vehicular homicide and one count of driving under the influence. If he's convicted, Cordell could face 8.5 years behind bars. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
A jury resumes deliberations today in the trial of a Washington State couple accused of homicide by abuse in the death of their teenage daughter, who was adopted from Ethiopia. 16-year-old Hannah Williams died of hypothermia and malnutrition in May of 2011. This is ABC News.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The art world is buzzing about a new find. A new Van Gogh has been identified, says ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk.
It's the first full-size canvas by the Dutch master discovered since 1928. It's a landscape called Sunset at Montmajour. The director of Amsterdam's Van Gogh Museum, Alex Ruger.
We're indeed extremely thrilled because such a discovery is unique. Certainly in the history of the 40 years of the Van Gogh Museum, this has never happened. So for us, it's very exciting.
The painting now belongs to an unidentified private collector, but it'll be on display at the museum starting at the end of the month. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Utilities across the country are urging you to think twice about what you're flushing down the toilet. A new wave of wipes labeled flushable are clogging sewers and could potentially burst pipes, costing homeowners and treatment plants big bucks for plumbing. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 135 points. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
If you're ready to take control of your own destiny in a new career, consider a career in radio. Here's Brad Marshall, sales manager at Cumulus Radio.
Cumulus owns and operates over 500 radio stations in the U.S. in 120 cities. Locally, we have offices in Hermitage, Canton, and Youngstown. If you have outdoor sales experience and are a go-getter and want to work in a fast-paced, challenging career in radio, send me your resume.
Email your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we want to hear from you today. It's open mic.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
What is it if you don't have speed dial?
I've been getting complaints about you spouting that number off too fast.
Okay.
347-945-5229.
That's how slow I say it.
No.
Yeah. I don't think. Like I said, you're on speed dial when you say it.
No, I'm not. Okay. The number is 347.
Was that a dramatic pause there? She can't remember it if she doesn't say it fast.
945.
Another dramatic pause.
5-22-9.
There we go.
There.
See, you just messed everything up by saying 22.
Okay. The number is 347-945-5229.
There we go.
Well done. Well done.
There we go.
There, see? Even the listeners agree.
Shush.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
They talked about a new situation. Now, this is like if we were playing chess, this would be checkmate, that the United Nations has given Assad an opportunity to surrender his weapons of mass destruction. Russia is backing that and encouraging them to do so. And they're saying that they will they'll comply with this.
Yeah, now what's Obama going to do?
Yeah.
And I think Assad would do that. I mean, he knows the strength of the military might.
Well,
he can always get more from Russia.
Well,
he can be resupplied.
Well, they've already said that there's claims, and I don't know what to believe anymore, but they're already claiming that they're moving chemical weapons onto that Russian naval base.
Hold on. I just read. I told you guys John Kerry gave them 1 week.
John Kerry.
John Kerry gives Syria 1 week to hand over chemical weapons or force attack.
You know, once again, he's got no power to say that.
Alabama, your mic is on, and Jeff, your mic is on, and Private Caller, your mic is on also.
Jeff, who?
The one that didn't tell us that he wasn't showing up today.
Oh, geez. You know what?
I think Mike over there.
I think he's
the empty mic.
He's a closet.
No, no, fan. No, no. But it is.
That's what it is. He's a closet Steeler fan. His team lost. He couldn't.
Oh, God, no. You know better than that, Ben. Stop it.
Well,
just stop
it. It's not because the Browns
you
lost, because
you
you're used to that.
You didn't drown your sorrows last night over the Browns, did you, Jeff?
No, what sorrows?
He'd be a teetotaler.
How y'all doing?
Good, how you doing, Alabama?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to congratulate the president on his great foreign policy. Well, what you guys think? I see what you guys think. But
don't forget that
it's really just great. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, those same black people that were screaming his name, wonder where they are now.
Just doing the same thing, saying that the president is not in control and he's just doing what he's told to do, and folks just don't understand.
I want to see how they bring this in the bush. That's all I want to know.
I got that already. They said the reason why we're in this mess is because at least Obama's doing the right thing, because Bush just messed it up. He took 8 years and he just messed up this whole country. I'm telling y'all, I got the conversation on Saturday. I could have recorded it and it was like,
I
want to
hear you defend. Because what's her name? Diva called her last week and was like, he has to go. Because this is actually our own doing. CIA, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Why are you being facetious today? You know we got homies back.
Who?
President Obama.
I mean, my thing is this. If the president is going to invade countries that haven't done anything that are more American-friendly, these people have removed radicals. I mean, it's just kind of, they weren't an ally, but they weren't just, you know what I'm saying, one of the biggest, one of the high-ups on the list as far as, you know, but, you know, I find it, you know, what is it, I find it kind of ironic. A lot of these people do stuff financially, foreign banks, just like with what's his name, Gaddafi, the guy they killed. Gaddafi was making some moves that upset the bankers, and he was killed. And these guys, just like with Iran, they're making banking decisions that make them considered to be terrorists. So I don't know. I think it's just, I used to didn't believe that stuff when people used to say it, but the more I see this now, I'm like, man, everybody that was screaming anti-war is now pro-war. So, I don't know.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But don't forget that John Kerry's IQ was lower than President Bush's. So we have to understand that when they come up with this false game that they're playing here, it's absolutely because of the globalist bankers. That's why you're going to bomb Assad, because him giving up his weapons is not going to be enough, because that's not what you're there for. You're there so Yemen can run that pipeline where they want to run it, and Assad is for stopping him from running it. That's the problem. And the United States is the bully here that stands to profit, because they would be the benefactors of that.
You know, the only thing I find wrong with that theory, Jeff, is that I don't believe an Islamic terrorist state would let a pipeline go through it anyhow. I really don't think that the Muslim Brotherhood, I mean, they're so anti-technology. I really don't think that helping them in power is going to get a pipeline there. I really don't think it's going to happen
not,
like that.
You're not, they don't care about, they're not going to bother you, though, to hear them say that. They're not going to stop that pipeline from running up there. It's not running through Syria.
I mean, with all the terrorism,
Syria
bombs
has,
and everything that... Yeah, but, I mean, Al-Qaeda, I mean look, they took Afghanistan back to the Stone Age. That's where they think the Bible, that's what their Quran tells them, you know, people should be. No television, no electricity.
Yeah, wait. So do you really believe that Al-Qaeda is not an extension of the federal government, of CIA? Because this has been declassified. I mean, this is stuff that we, on record, we have shown in a history of an alliance with Al-Qaeda. So when you say Al-Qaeda...
Oh, yes. I mean, no. During
talking about the CIA.
Right. During the 80s, I mean, we provided Al-Qaeda with Stinger missiles as well as money to train
Why don't you go back 30 years? Wait a minute, Alabama.
I gotta slow down because I'm not gonna tell y'all I'm proficient in foreign policy. So I just gotta, as I listen to this conversation, I just gotta see if I can put dots together. We trained Osama bin Laden to fight the Russians.
Yes, and provided weapons.
And we provided weaponry and everything for them. Am I correct?
Correct.
Right.
The Cold War ended. We got mad. Osama went on the other side.
No. What happened was the Al-Qaeda and bin Laden's organization wanted to kick Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait himself. He didn't want any foreigners, any non-Muslims on Muslim territory. And when the Saudi government, who was running the show, told him no, that's when he came and said that not only is America the great Satan, but now the Saudi regime is has to go too.
Okay, now
and that's when they kicked him out.
Wait a minute. Okay, so now Russia is siding with whom right now?
Russia's siding with Assad.
Assad, which was against the rebels.
The rebels that were fighting in Chechnya.
And we're siding with the rebels.
No, we're not. Well, that's what our president wants.
You're supporting
the rebels. The Muslim Brotherhood and Al Qaeda are sworn enemies. Now, okay, enemies of America, that's who the rebels are. And we can prove that the rebels have done things that are war crimes. We can't prove Assad fired a chemical weapon. It could have been the rebels that fired the chemical weapon.
They're not above blowing up their women and children.
And they're not above executing prisoners, which is against the Geneva Convention.
They're not above eating people's hearts.
Yes, which is what they do. So.
So.
Just because we were allied with Al-Qaeda during the Afghan-Soviet War
right.
doesn't mean we're going to be allied with them forever. That changed during the first Gulf War.
And also, don't forget that there was a significant outcry against the U.S., the infidels, having a base on Saudi soil because Saudi soil is sacred because that's where Mecca is.
As well as Kuwait. You know, we have a naval base there. So, yeah. So that was the big fuss. There was unclean people inside Muslim territory. And according to the Quran that Osama bin Laden follows, that was a no-no. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he was kicked out of his own country.
What I'm trying to understand, though, guys, is what you go back over there to that. What I'm trying to understand is, okay, bin Laden was never officially charged for 9/11 because they didn't have enough evidence. This is the official story. This is what they tell you. So, I mean, it just stands to reason that we, you know, I'm not going to get into the 9/11 thing again, but it just seems stands to reason that that's something that when we say CIA and him being on our team, I think there's a substantial amount of evidence that says that, you know what I'm saying, the CIA and the federal government is involved in terrorism. And they're involved in drugs. They're involved in, I mean, this is, the dots are there to be connected. So even with the way they did his body when he died, it's like when I hear talk radio people, the terrorists, they're a bunch of, you know, savages that don't want, I'm like, look, I think there's some truth to what you're saying, but then there also is some media stories that are kind of twisting our minds to think a certain way toward these people. So we want to logically engage in reason.
But Alabama, you say that he was never charged, but Hirohito and Tojo were never charged with committing Pearl Harbor either. I mean, it was an act of
say
war.
What?
It was an act of war.
But my question is, where are we now? And I want to pull up another call because somebody new came in. But where are we now? Because if you look at what's going on, no one really knows. No one's really laid out a clear view of any of this, connecting all the dots, asking all the questions, and giving us all the answers, and then asking us to go strike Syria. Because, again, I still believe that it's bigger than just a 14, 15, 16, 1700 bodies with chemical weapons.
Well, it's not just Syria now.
It obviously is because they're using they're using pictures of Saddam Hussein's strike on the Kurds on the evening news and saying they're from Syria. So somebody's got an agenda to try to swing public opinion.
So the question is, because decision, and tomorrow we'll talk about this, when Jeff and I are here, we're going to talk about the politicizing of the vote and the president's speech and Congress's vote, not based upon what they know, what they think, but based upon their next election. The 330-3540, your mic is on.
Yes, good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon.
Hey, it's interesting to listen to all the different comments, not only on your program, but all around our local area on the radio. But can we back the bus up about 20 yards here and take a real serious look at how this happened and what's going on, really? What we're faced with currently is the result of a number of people, the majority of the people in this country, voting a community organizer to be the leader of the greatest nation in the world, and we're reaping what we've sown. To quote a very infamous black pastor, the chickens have come home to roost. This guy has had eight to ten major fiascos in the last 3 years alone, and each one of them compounds on the last and confuses the issue to the point where nothing is being resolved. What I would like to see is for the sitting president, who thinks he's a king and a potentate, to step up and own the fact that he and the Democratic Party have put 4,000 children a day to death at the hands of Planned Parenthood and financed it with tax dollars. And then they have the audacity to step up and call this guy a murderer over in Syria because there was 1,500 people killed. It doesn't lessen the loss of life of the 1,500 people, God forbid. However, when our nation murders 4,000 children a day, there's been 15 million children murdered at the hands of so-called freedom of women's rights, and the Democratic Party has been part and parcel to subsidizing to several hundred billion dollars the Planned Parenthood organization, and until they own that and apologize and rescind the monies being spent to Planned Parenthood to basically wipe out our own nation, then maybe they'll have a position from which to stand and say, hey, you're guilty of this.
But this is, you know, I agree with you. But see, that's where, you know, without going to a theological conversation, that's where the spiritual undertone is, where we find the murderous spirit of Molech. So when you understand that, the reason why we're in the situation that we're in is because we're feeding the same demons supernaturally. But my question is, and I agree with you, don't get me wrong. But my question is, most people don't see even that connection with what's going on. They don't see the same-sex marriage stand with what's going on. They don't see the lack of morality in America and what's going on and connecting those dots. Right now, I'm just talking about the natural point of view, where we're not connecting the dots of how these people got to the point where we're actually even considering striking Syria.
Caller, you hit the nail on the head. There's no denying that. You know, is it too late to abort Obama?
No.
I mean,
One of the points that we have to take a serious look at, these so-called politicians, both Republicans and Democrats, and our so-called leader, are standing on what they perceive to be the moral high ground, when in fact they're responsible for the murder of 4,000 children a day in this country. Where's the moral ground on that? They're standing in a cesspool. Our nation should have been taken over 20 years ago by the so-called, not infidels, but the Muslim nation, which doesn't stand for that sort of, infanticide.
Or homosexuality.
I mean, and it's all of the same spirit. It's kind of the same cloth. But like what I'm saying is, you are correct in what you're saying. But they don't even consider abortions a part of life. Remember, we said this earlier, we're spreading abortions across the globe as the right thing to do.
And why do they do that, Tracy? So that they're not embarrassed by their own illegitimacy. That's why. But it's time for people like us to stand up and take the moral high ground and say enough is enough.
Well, you know what's funny? The caller is absolutely correct, and they are trying to take a moral high ground above this, but you could call it a hypocritical moral high ground because that's exactly what it is. What if I were to take, not an abortion standpoint, but say, you know, the same mentality and say, you know what? Pull out of the Middle East. I don't care if they kill each other. They're not real people to me. I would be labeled a demon by most of these people, but you know what? It's the exact same line as they give about abortion. I don't consider those people, not that I don't, but if I were to say something like that, I don't consider them people, they're animals, kill them. What would that make me look like?
Well, that's the problem that the current administration is facing, and until we as a people in the United States take back our ability to impeach, if that's what's necessary, or to recall our electorate, then this is going to continue down this road, and within weeks we will be embroiled in a world war.
Bob, now I have to say this. I got to say this. This president, whether it be him or whether it be Clinton, I mean, the same abortions were going on since the 70s.
And we haven't won a war since Roe v. Wade, have we?
No, we have not. And we have to realize the catalyst has culminized with same-sex marriage and the Supreme Court. And remember, this box opened with the military and Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Under Bill Clinton.
No,
I don't know
when
how
we
many
rescinded
folks,
it under President Obama.
Before
Bill Clinton, there was no Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was a punishable offense.
Correct.
Bill Clinton opened the door with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
But Obama.
Because believe me, Obama. I was on active duty when all of that came through, and there was guys on my submarine that we knew were a little light in the loafers, but nobody paid any attention to them.
When we go down the street and open gay pride in a military uniform.
Well, what about there was just a submarine return from sea here not too long ago, and his, I don't know who was the girl and who was the guy, but he was waiting on him at the pier to ask him to marry.
We have to understand, we just got married. Two military just got married in the White House not too long ago. I mean, if you want to go there for it, you have to understand what's going on here. And so we're talking about abortion, but we're talking about an amoral society. But my question is, it doesn't start with just President Obama. It starts with America at large. And the church still has not yet to repent.
That's true.
I mean, if you want to hit the nail on the head, it's not about those that do not believe. It's about those who say they believe, and they are the ones
who
have not repented, because the church has sat on the sidelines and the church has not cried foul. The church has actually joined in.
There are very few churches that have stood up. I mean, very few churches that have put shacking up couples out.
That's what I'm saying. We've gone along with this whole situation. So what? If you want to, I can't blame the heathen for him not taking a stand when the church sits up and supports the heathen when he doesn't.
We don't take a stand on a whole lot of stuff.
Taking this all in, I feel like Fred Sanford going, Wheezy, I'm coming. I'm coming, Wheezy.
You know, I mean,
it's almost a helpless situation.
And I'm not gonna point my finger at President Barack Obama and think he's the end all when you look at the evangelicals and you look at the people who put him in and supported him when he did it and didn't say no and stood up there locking hand in hand talking about they got to have love too and then called themselves a Christian.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Jeff.
He's the LGBT evangelical. That's exactly what he is. He's evangelizing the world for LGBT and abortion. And that's the only thing he's been, the only
successful at
that he's kept on. That's all he does.
But abortion and homosexuality, doesn't that kind of equal extinction of the human race?
Absolutely.
Both do. But they're both a spit in the eye of the Creator. And so my question is, And I'm not going to blame the heathen for because the heathen does what a heathen does. The heathen does, he's doing his job.
Right.
My question is, those people who say they're called by the name of God, why aren't they saying file?
That's what's ticking me off.
Because by our traditions, we make the word of God void.
So then we need to sit down. Because I'm not going to blame him. He's doing what he's supposed to do, whoever he works for. My question is, why are we supporting him?
It's worse than that, Sticks. We're making the word void by straight out and out voting for things that we know good and doggone well God was hot because people did it. He was hot because the people of Israel allowed him. And we are allowing nasty filthiness in our society to be called normal. I don't know what you're doing in your bedroom. That's your business. But when you're coming out on the street and you're marking down the street very steadily, on the same, you know, same thing as you are, and this, that, and other, showing your body, and this, that, and other. That is nothing good. That is not. Yeah.
Well, what did God do when the rulers? What did God do to Israel when the rulers of Israel didn't follow His?
Kill the people.
Okay. So now that Obama's doing that, he's putting my life in danger.
Absolutely.
He's putting your life in danger. And if the church, if you didn't have a remnant of a church here, this place would be in pretty bad shape. I know there's a lot of grace people.
So how do we get God to smite Obama?
No.
You can't.
And you don't have to. This is about fighting Obama.
This is about us turning back to him.
This is not about Obama.
Right.
And that's why I disagree with Ron. He keeps on talking about Obama and the Democrats. This is not about them. It's about us.
What each generation accepts, the next generation will condone.
Then I'm not gonna blame Obama for something that I should have been doing myself. Obama's doing what Obama does. My question is, am I going to support him when he does wrong? And the problem is, we have an American electorate who came out and knew that they were voting wrong but supported him because of what? He's a nice guy.
Because they didn't want to be called racist.
You know, it's a lot of people, unfortunately.
And they still haven't said, what you've done is wrong.
Nope.
They have yet to cross out. Hey, Captain Al, your mic is on.
Hey, it's Jill. How are you?
Hi, Jill.
Hey, what are you so angry about?
No cussing, okay? You can say don't cuss. I'm not angry. I'm mad because life is not good right now. How you doing?
Hey,
where are you calling from?
Who was cussing?
I just want to make sure you know ahead of time.
Oh, what happens if I was to cuss?
Don't cuss. Just say no.
Okay, I won't, but I'm just curious. Hypothetically.
I'd be upset.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to upset you.
Where are you calling from, Captain?
I'm actually in my kitchen. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. Hang on. Let me open my fridge.
I'd be cussing if I was you.
Yeah, he's cussing.
Why did I think that was just going to happen?
Now you
don't
know.
You
in a hurry to leave Cleveland.
Damn it.
You know, I knew it was coming, didn't I? How did I know that?
Yeah.
Anybody that comes and calls Captain Al, how do you know? What did he sound like a cusser or what?
Well, as soon as you heard he was from Cleveland, you should have known he was off his rocker.
Well, she said the first word, he had two words to say, and she's like, no cussing. I was right on board with you, Trace.
He was going too far. You know, he was a little bit too happy, too early in the afternoon.
The Browns did score some points, so.
Well, they did. They did.
Yeah.
Matt, did you want to chime in?
No. I mean, there's so much stuff to go into. When you're looking at Syria by itself, and you're looking at the current situation, and I understand what we're saying about with morality and the lack of God and the lack. I get it. I'm not saying that's not the main problem. It absolutely is. But I'm going to go from that. I'm going to minimize it a little bit, and say
it's the fundamental
there's one
root
thing.
Of
Right. I'm going to get past that a little bit. The one thing that I find funny is that Obama always follows one thing, and it's something that he's been a member of, that he's talked well of, and that's the Muslim Brotherhood. Everything that deals with the Muslim Brotherhood, that's why we went into Libya, to give the Muslim Brotherhood a foothold in Libya. And that's the way it
was
looking.
As well as Egypt.
As well as Egypt, and even in Afghanistan and Iraq, there was some interesting moves strategically that allowed Muslim Brotherhood members to do what they wish. And I seriously feel that it's the same thing going on with Syria. I think that right now, at least in his mind and for his reasons, that's the common thread that's going through this whole thing, is the Muslim Brotherhood.
That's what I've been saying since this whole thing started. It only makes sense that our president is doing everything in his power to help the enemies of Israel, as well as the United States, come to power and do as much damage as they can. And in my eyes, that makes our president a traitor.
Ma'am,
yes?
the what he said on his book, Audacity Hope, on page 261, I will stand with the Muslim if the winds of politics, world politics, blows against them. So that should tell us and the whole country why the news media isn't blowing this up, especially at this time. Why the Republicans are sitting on their doggone hands and not throwing stones when they have the opportunity to throw stones. This is stupid again. This is stupid warfare. You need to reveal him what he said. It doesn't matter what
question.
You think
question.
You're going to suffer, because you're going to suffer anyway.
Why did they not? Why do you not hear it?
Because you have too many progressives inside of our party, and they are controlling some things.
What Jeff doesn't understand is that Barack Obama didn't write that book, sir. He only had a lot to do with it and narrated the audiobook. So please stop it with those books already.
Well, it doesn't matter if that's what his politic is. It doesn't matter. Do you understand?
He may not have wrote them, but
sure
he signed
them. He okayed the politic of that book. And that's what we're saying. We're not.
You know I agree with that.
So, Jeff, so if the book has been written, and you're saying you don't know why the Republicans won't call it out.
Yeah.
Tell me why the media at large, the Fox, the Friends, the People, you don't hear this conversation.
Because they're probably controlled by the same powers that be that are controlling Obama.
Well, listen, the progressives want this stuff. This is what they want to do. So you're not hurting them. They're loving this. They have this stupid notion that if you hug and kiss the Muslim radical, he won't beat you back. But you found out different at Benghazi, and you're trying to wash it under, and it's not working. Benghazi was a smack in the face to Obama. That's the first nation that pumped him when they killed our ambassador last year on 9/11. Understand, you cannot. You are an infidel to them, and they can lie to you, they can cheat you, they can kill you, and they get rewarded by Allah for what they've done. You have
but
to
my
understand
question is,
what they believe.
But my question is, Jeff, no one, I mean, is the whole, is everything in lockstep with the progressives? Because if that be the case, When I listen to the Talking Heads over the weekend, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. Please join in. When I listen to the Talking Heads over the weekend, when I read the news on the internet, when I see what the conversation and the dialogue is across the board, either the people that listen to my show and the five of us are absolutely crazy. Because all of the questions and all of the angles and all of the dynamics that we have put into this case, I have yet to hear enough of them outside of here.
The only place I guess that's any of this stuff is non-traditional media.
And that's what I'm saying.
Drudge, Blaze.
But if anybody does their homework, I mean, at the very least, if you read Obama's books, he outlines what he is and what he's about.
No. I'm talking about just about the situation.
Well,
I mean,
but then you understand the reason why the situation is the way it is. It's his own doing.
I mean, even the European papers, the Guardian, the UK Guardian, is picking up on this stuff.
Yes.
And questioning. But it's like the mainstream media in the United States, and I throw Fox into this, is just toeing the line.
Right. You know, from the Guardian, they had a article about Putin's response to Obama.
Yeah.
And Putin said, "Hey, I've wrestled stronger bears before. Obama's nothing." You know, and
well, I've been saying this. Tracy doesn't agree with me. Putin disdains Obama. He doesn't think he's a man.
Of course.
He looks at him as at best a child,
and
at the worst, just an ignorant fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny about it is, first of all, when Fatima Dinajad gave his view of Putin when he addressed the United Nations, he said, "This is a weak man," in an interview. Putin, when he was asking for Snowden to be returned, for if there were going to be consequences, Putin said, "I'm not used to listening to the demands of a madman." Now, what kind of respect is that? He punked you, and these supporters are frothing at the mouth with support of this idiotic, inept rulings that these people are making. They're just destroying this country, and they're doing it on purpose, and we're putting up with it.
Hold on. 726, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, the only time you're going to get the media to take a look at what these guys are doing over there is when they feel that the election of Hillary is going to be in jeopardy. And when they get to that point, and I think they're getting close to that point, they'll drop Obama like a hot potato. I'm telling you, he's not going to last his presidency. I don't think he'll last. Right now, they're trying to figure it out. He's thrown them for a loop. Now, they go, what do they do? You know, if you watched Stephanopoulos, you know, over the weekend, they're trying to figure it out. And I think they're coming close. The minute it looks like that whatever he's doing is going to jeopardize Hillary's election, he's finished. All it's going to take is one person to come forward and link Obama to what was going on in the Internal Revenue Service, and he'll be out in a week. And I think that's what's going on right now. I think they're taking a good hard look trying to figure out how this affects Hillary Clinton.
And you think a Biden sitting in Gerald Ford's shoes is
the only way Biden can win from this is incumbent. You know, Hillary's going to blow him away in the primaries.
You think that she can beat an incumbent?
No, I don't. That's what I'm trying to say. Biden, if Biden's an incumbent, he could probably beat Hillary in a primary. But if
Obama doesn't last his presidency, Biden will be sitting in the Oval Office.
That's fine. They can't. What are they going to do? They're going to keep Obama in there and completely destroy the country? If this blows up in Obama's face, I mean, what kind of let the light bulb go off in my head over the weekend was McCain using the word impeachment, and that's the first time I've heard that word come up with what would be considered one of the sainted elders in the Senate. McCain said that if ground troops go into Syria, that's grounds for impeachment. I think that's an interesting comment from McCain.
Why would,
especially with especially with Kerry saying that, that we could we need seven. No, excuse me. With the Pentagon saying to secure the chemical agents, we need 75,000 troops in Syria.
Yeah. Did any of you guys catch the story in the pick it up on Drudge? And Tracy, I think I emailed it to you about the in the Sun, the New York Sun. A guy named Black wrote the article and basically said that Obama has set this thing up to fail. And you know, his intent is to further weaken the United States, and what he's doing right now is a deliberate act. I thought that was kind of scary. I'm not quite sure I buy it, but it's an interesting theory.
I'll buy that. I mean, like I said,
they've been saying that all day long today.
Yeah, every action this president has taken has been anti-American.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't too long after he got elected that they had that picture of him with that book, The Managing Decline of America, or something like that. So that plus his writings, whether he wrote them or just approved them.
He signed them.
He believes that the United States has no business being a superpower, that we need our comeuppance.
So the question is, what's the tipping point? When does the press say, you know what, we're in trouble, and the future of the Democratic Party is in jeopardy? You know, Hillary Clinton's in jeopardy. You know, going into next year election, the Senate's in jeopardy. At some point, they're going to have to retreat. At some point, they can't justify it anymore. And I think they're
I think you're looking on a small scale. You're looking nationally. I think you have to look globally for that answer.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing right there. They're not concerned about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party ain't going nowhere because they have commandeered the low-information voter vote, and they're getting ready to add 13 million more of them. So, you have to understand, they're not in danger whatsoever. Who's in danger are us, the conservatives, that they attack daily and try to destroy. Because we don't have enough new voters coming on that understand that there's a work ethic in this country that allows us to be the greatest place of opportunity. That's what's not understood.
Jeff, the low-information voters seem to get their information from a couple of sources. You know, in addition, they might watch the first 10 minutes of the evening news at 6:30, if that. And they get their information from the late-night comedians and the Daily Show and all of those things. Those guys have been moving over. You know, all of a sudden, Obama is a source of comedy. He isn't off-limits anymore.
It's no, not in that. No.
Yeah, I seen, was it Colbert? Colbert just started talking about.
Not far enough.
But it's starting.
But
it's starting.
They're starting to realize the emperor has no clothes.
They knew the emperor had no clothes.
I shouldn't say that. They're starting to tell the rest of the people that the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, but they've already drunk the Kool-Aid.
Drank the Kool-Aid? What do you mean? They snorted the powder before they made the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I'm already too high to realize that everybody's got their clothes off now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they snowed everybody so much because the conversations that I had over the weekend, and this was both black and white,
mm-hmm.
It was like, wow.
I think the only thing it's going to save us now is prayer.
Oh, and we have yet to call for prayer.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Oh, we're not going to call for prayer.
I'm going to call for it. They're trying to take God out of the schools. Let's put them back in.
I mean, I'm serious. I am.
Nothing to joke
listen,
about.
You're talking about, you know, late night. Right now, he might be a laughingstock, but they still say Bush did it.
Mm-hmm.
This is still all Bush's fault.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he might be able to try to say it, but when you've got Putin, I mean, people aren't stupid. They're saying Putin, you know, wipe the floor with this guy right now.
Well,
the American public, you know, maybe it takes a while to compute, but sooner or later it sinks in. And, you know, and nothing affects the American public more than our national pride. And if they see our ass being kicked by Putin and by the Iranians, and I'm looking at Drudge this afternoon, and Assad is talking about UN control of the chemical weapons and all that. You know, I don't know.
But just look at the photo ops of these guys. Putin's out shooting tigers, and our president's riding a girl's bike with a girly helmet on. I mean, come on.
Sticks. A girl's bike?
Yeah. He's riding a girl's bike and he's got one of them goofy bicycle helmets on. What man wears a bicycle helmet?
But he can put his leg up on a desk, Sticks.
I know guys ride Harleys with no helmets. Let alone a bicycle.
Mm. Hey, well, Mark, I'm glad you called in.
Hey, Trace. What else is going on?
The president's going to give a speech tomorrow night. I want to talk about the politicization of the vote and President Obama's speech before he gets up. Because they're going to politicize their vote based upon safe seat, not safe seat.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily based upon, because they're afraid to say anything because of the upcoming election next year, the midterm.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody's being open and honest about their thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Congress gives the president authority, runaway authority to attack the Syrian regime, they're just as guilty as he is in aiding criminals, aiding enemies of America.
I don't think they will.
So will San Francisco tear Nancy Pelosi to shreds for going along with this?
No, Nancy's safe.
No matter what she does.
I think she's safe.
With all those code pink people out there running around.
Well, you know why. You know why? Because they love people in a good uniform.
She's just so bad. I mean, seriously, they're safe. I mean, there are some people that are safe, and then there are others that they are not safe.
I'm just surprised that the Democrat in our region is going against the president, or saying he is. I hope he really does. Give me hope.
You never know.
And Mr. Ryan.
Mark, what do you think about that? Tim Thomas last night.
I think I have a problem tomorrow night with the speech. And, I've got a dilemma. You know, one of my favorite television shows is The Big Bang Theory. And tomorrow night, and tomorrow night they're doing Who Do You Think You Are is going to do the family history of the guy who plays Sheldon. And Sheldon's my favorite character. I'd like to go through life like Sheldon. And so what am I going to watch? You know, the president or Sheldon's family history. You know,
because it's on broadcast television, they're going to preempt it anyhow, so you won't have a choice.
No, it's not. It's on the History Channel or something. I don't think they'll preempt all the cable channels.
Yeah. No.
If it is, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. As long as they don't interfere with Big Brother, I'm okay.
Duck Dynasty.
You know what,
Duck
guys?
Dynasty's
wait a minute.
Wednesday night.
Now, wait, when we talk about this, you guys have to watch the president. You guys can't watch something else.
watching the president.
No. Listen, guys, you have to watch the President of the United States make his compelling speech on why we should actually go and strike Syria. And I don't know what he can possibly say that's going to make people change their minds in 40 minutes.
Oh, well, it's a lie.
Is he going to stand up? Is he going to have a screen running behind him with pictures of gas children or something?
I wouldn't be surprised, Dix. I think they're kind of desperate right now.
Mm.
It's not what he has to say, it's what Congress hears. You know, does Congress have the, Congress isn't going to go against what the American public wants. These guys roll
up
the election.
Wait a minute. Mark, you mean to tell me when they called Congress back in, they couldn't meet with Congress? So he has
no
idea.
No, I know that. You're right.
Remember, they showed, there were low-level staffers that showed up. So he couldn't have this conversation with them without cameras?
This morning they had, I'm trying to think the congressman, it's a German name that he has, Esinger, nice looking fellow, looks like a former Marine. He came out in favor of supporting Obama. He called the White House and said, I want to offer you my support. Nobody ever called him back until this morning, because the minute he got off the television this morning, they were on the phone with him in 5 minutes. These are amateurs. It's the amateur hour over there right now. I just hope we don't get blown up in the process.
Well, how do you spend 13 years screaming war is bad and now all of a sudden war is good?
Well, Sticks, he wants, with Obama, it's always the same thing. Don't look here, look there. I keep talking about wag the dog. they really ought to go watch that movie to see what this guy's doing.
Was it a good movie, Mark? Because you keep on talking about this movie. Was it a good movie?
Yes.
Have you seen Wag the Dog?
Pardon me?
No, I have.
It's a slow movie, isn't it?
No, it's about a president who has a sex scandal, and he looks like he's going to lose re-election. So he manufactures a crisis overseas. He hires a Hollywood producer to create a fake war that he's showing to the American public. When you have problems at home, causing trouble overseas, causing a distraction, it's the number one trick in the book. There isn't been a president, and that includes Nixon, who hasn't done this. Except this guy is really willing to lead us to war. And that's what's scary.
Hold on. Here's the difference is he's not playing, you know, he's not deferring to other things when it comes to this Syria thing or when it comes to any of these other debacles anymore. It's all out in the open now. He's not saying, look here anymore. We're going into Syria. Listen, he was just him and his vice president, Joe Biden, were completely against these things not even a year ago on national TV for their debates.
But you
so
know what he's
looking
away from? You're not hearing Benghazi. You're not hearing the Internal Revenue Service. You're not hearing the National Security Agency. You're not hearing any of that stuff right now.
Yeah, you're not.
He's completely shifted the focus away from the scandals over to this.
Yes, but this backfires
really
in his face because this makes him look like a traitor.
Yeah,
this backfires in his face because we know the enemies of Assad's regime are American enemies. We know who they are.
But we don't.
How
understand
does
it
backfire in his face? Listen, he could.
Well,
if
come
Congress
on,
votes
he,
against
if he
it,
supports
he say,
them, he's a traitor.
Well, I know
he
he's a traitor.
He needs to be impeached and tried and hung.
Here's the public thing. If he goes on the speech, he gives a speech tomorrow, blah, 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 shows all the dead and dying people over there. He goes to the Congress. Congress votes it down. He gets in front of the people again and says, well, I wanted to do it. You wouldn't let me. I tried.
So, Mark, does he go anyways?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he can.
He can't.
I mean,
he knows it.
Yeah. I mean, if he does,
I still. There we go.
You still what?
Well, I still think it's the Bahrain scenario that scares me. Because we will be launching weapons relatively close to Russian military people.
Yeah. You're right, Nick. That's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll be wrapping here tomorrow, and Jeff and I will be here. I'm going to talk about the politics of this because tomorrow the president's going to address the nation. And we just need to ask questions, you know.
And pray.
We need to stay prayed up. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. We'll see you then. God bless you, and have a good afternoon.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown.